jumping on with us today. A lot going on over here. A lot to catch you up on. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Welcome to the show. We are very excited for today's show, I guess, because I'm going to catch up on a lot of the stories we've been bringing to you throughout the week. There's a lot of interesting turns, twists, and everything else you'd expect. We've been keeping our eyes on a lot. Specifically, though, well, we've got our eyes, obviously, on the White House. President Trump is expected to make a address later today. This is going to happen around 9 p.m. This is going to be the address to the nation speech, of course. We are waiting for that to take place. That will be at 9 p.m. Eastern time. You know, the press secretary earlier today gave us a little glimpse about what to expect. Take a listen.
I'll say a couple of things on that. First of all, as you all saw on Truth Social, President Trump is going to be giving a joint address to, or an address to the nation, not a joint address, an address to the nation tomorrow night, live from the White House here at 9 o'clock Eastern. I know you guys will all be tuning in. It's going to be a really good speech. I was just in the Oval Office with the president discussing it. He's going to talk a lot about the accomplishments over the past 11 months. All that he's done to bring our country back to greatness and all he continues to plan to do to continue delivering for the American people over the next 3 years.
So we're going to be sitting back and waiting for that to begin. That's expected at 9 p.m. Eastern time today. We've also got our eyes on Fulton County because, well, Miss Fannie Willis, the Fulton County District Attorney one, the corrupt one I'm referring to here, by the way, she is going to be testifying under oath in front of the Georgia Senate Special Committee on Investigations. Now, this has been long overdue. She's been fighting this back for quite some time now because she's a corrupt little hack and she doesn't want to have to speak on what kind of level of corruption she was committing behind the scenes in regards to her persecution of President Trump and his allies. And even some people that never even met the president she was just trying to go after in that RICO case. So that should get very, very interesting. We'll give you an update later in the show as well on Venezuela. That's how we're going to kick it off, actually, because a lot happened yesterday in regards to Venezuela. The president putting out a very spicy, I guess I'll say, Truth Social post yesterday, as well as Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, speaking to the media yesterday, saying he's not going to put out that September 2nd unedited video of that, I believe they call it the double tap airstrike. So that's what you got from him. He's not going to put it out. We'll play the soundbite. We'll play his explanation, of course, and we'll detail the latest on Venezuela because things are getting pretty crazy in Venezuela right now. We could expect probably within the next couple of days things to really start to ramp up a bit. So we'll dive into that in just a moment. Plus, we'll bring the very latest in that Brown University shooting story. As many of you guys know, the suspect is still on the run. We are keeping our eye on that. There was a lot of stupidity going on yesterday at the press conferences. It's really hard to believe that the FBI and local PD are truly doing their best on this case when they all look like a bunch of fools. I'll bring you the latest and the most outrageous parts that we learned of in that investigation. It's pretty insane that our own federal governments, I know, don't really trust them. But guys, the FBI is unable to find this person. The best thing we got is footage like this. And then they brag and they go, oh, we enhance the footage. I don't know what type of enhancement that is, but we'll dive into that in a little bit. Plus, left-wing terrorism, as many of you guys know, there was just recently an arrest of four individuals, a part of that plot that, well, they allegedly say the FBI and the DOJ, that they were trying to create a terror attack on New Year's Eve in Los Angeles. They were going to set off IEDs, according to their plan, at several locations. Well, there was just a Trantifa individual arrested. That's according to the government's accusations, not mine, theirs. I don't know how to feel about this. You know, we had Ken Silva on the program yesterday who read through the indictment, told us what he thought. I'll give you the latest though on that fifth person who has just been arrested. Plus, the leaders in Australia are just weak, very, very weak, and they're unable to be truthful with their people. And instead of going out there and criticizing Islam, which they're afraid to do, they're going to try their very best to dance around the subject matter. Got a soundbite that you actually probably won't even believe is real, but it actually happened live on television yesterday with a deputy prime minister. To stay put, we got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. In the meantime, though, it's the final days of Christmas, which means it's 60% off right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. All of your favorite supplements are on sale. Specifically, though, we have obviously sea moss gummies and the methylene blue, 60% off right now over at thealexjonesstore.com.
challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
The American Journal. Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday. I feel like this week's kind of dragging on a bit. Glad you're here with us, though. Of course, a lot going on in this front. We're going to catch you up on all the stories we broke to you throughout the week. A lot of important updates that we wanted to make sure are on your radar. As well, the corporate media is not going to point these things out, but we're not a bunch of cowards over here. We're going to point it out. We're waiting to see President Trump later tonight give a very important speech. As many of you guys know, we're awaiting his address to the nation. Much is expected at 9 p.m. Eastern time today. Now, the press secretary came out and she spoke and she pretty much gave her highlights as to what she thinks this is going to be about. Take a listen.
I'll say a couple of things on that. First of all, as you all saw on Truth Social, President Trump is going to be giving a joint address to, or an address to the nation, not a joint address, an address to the nation tomorrow night, live from the White House here at 9 o'clock Eastern. I know you guys will all be tuning in. It's going to be a really good speech. I was just in the Oval Office with the president discussing it. He's going to talk a lot about the accomplishments over the past 11 months. All that he's done to bring our country back to greatness and all he continues to plan to do to continue delivering for the American people over the next 3 years.
And as many of you guys know, we are going to be looking forward to just that. We will be covering it, of course, on Thursday morning. But I think it's very important that we buckle up and listen to what he's got to say, because there's a lot going on, especially if you're someone who is concerned about Venezuela, which I'm sure so many of us are, of course. So we look forward to hearing him speak on that front. Also, we got our eyes on something very important happening right now in Fulton County. Fannie Willis is expected to speak under oath, testify under oath, to the Georgia Senate Special Committee on Investigations that is happening today. It's been a long, long battle because that woman did not want to have to speak about her own alleged corruption. And so now she's being forced to do just that. So we'll keep our eye on that. In case anything happens, of course, we'll bring it straight to you. I also wanted to bring your attention to Venezuela. As many of you guys may have saw yesterday, President Trump put out a very spicy post about Venezuela, now saying that Maduro's government is a foreign terrorist organization. He also then announced that they're, obviously surrounded right now, which we all know is the case, and that they are implementing a complete blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers. Key word there, sanctioned. According to Eric Prince, it won't affect Chevron's legal exports on Venezuelan oil. So stay calm there, of course. Also, we'll be following this as it develops. But I'm telling you, folks, it appears that it's going to be getting kind of crazy in Venezuela very soon. I think President Trump is angling to ramp things up over the next few days. And so we're going to keep our eye on that. Now, yesterday, we kind of brought you a brief overview, in regards to Venezuela. As many of you guys know, Democrats have been utilizing these airstrikes that have been carried out on these alleged drug smuggling vessels that are trying to make their way to the United States. That's what the Pentagon alleges. That's what President Trump alleges as well. So we've been following the story for quite some time now. Now, there's been a lot of back and forth. I want to play clip four for you actually first, because in clip four, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, actually addressed the issue, specifically outlining why these very controversial airstrikes, the unedited footage, will not be made public. Take a listen.
This is the 22nd bipartisan briefing we've had on a highly successful mission to counter designated terrorist organizations, cartels, bringing weapons meaning drugs, to the American people and poisoning the American people for far too long. So we're proud of what we're doing, able to lay it out very directly to these senators and soon to the House, but it's all classified. We can't talk about it now. We're also going to tomorrow allow the HASC and SASC to see the unedited video of September 2nd, alongside with Admiral Bradley, who has done a fantastic job, has made all the right calls, and we're glad he'll be there to do it. But in keeping with longstanding Department of War policy, Department of Defense policy, of course we're not going to release a top secret, full unedited video of that to the general public. HASC and SASC and appropriate committees will see it, but not the general public.
Now, I know many of you guys at home were wondering, why is Brianna keep asking this question over at the Pentagon? Why am I asking for them to make this footage public? Well, for me, if the mainstream media, if Democrats are wrong and they are not doing anything in the wrong, why not publish it? I think specifically we're not looking for the full footage. We're not looking to understand the strategy and how they go after these vessels as much. I think the more focus on all of this is the accusations they're facing, that two individuals were survivors after the first strike. And then as they made their way to whatever remains were floating from the vessel, they were hit again. Obviously, the Pentagon saying that the right decision was, in fact, made, and that those men were just making their way to the vessel to go back and try to salvage whatever they could from the drugs. That's what the Pentagon says. But we haven't been able to see exactly, specifically, what the heck happened there. And again, I've asked repeatedly if we're ever going to find out the names of the individuals who are on those vessels, to ensure that they are actually cartel members and they're not just civilians who are being blackmailed and forced by the cartels to go out there onto these dangerous voyages. Because why would the cartels risk putting their officials on those vessels knowing that the government's going to strike it down? Our government. Now, there was an interesting clip, and it has me feeling a little at ease, because Senator John Fetterman actually is claiming that he got a private intelligence briefing on the subject matter. And he's telling us in clip two that everyone is lying to us. Take a listen.
What did you learn, Senator, that gave you any comfort that we're not heading into some kind of extended military exercise around Venezuela or in Venezuela?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was pretty comprehensive. And this idea, some things out in the media, it's kind of putting out this that the military is just picking off, you know, any boat that comes across. That's just not true. I mean, there's extensive intelligence, and they know exactly who's on that boat, and they know what's actually on that boat right now. And it's quite frequently they decline to take it and to move on those things. When they move on those kinetic kinds of strikes, you know, they have absolute confidence that who's on it and what's on it, and that's exactly what it's about. They're not just going around randomly just shooting boats in those things. That's just not the fact at all.
All right, so Fetterman is out here saying that what we're being told by the mainstream media and Democrats, his obviously colleagues, is inaccurate, and they are not being truthful to the American people, which is a kind of a relief at this point, given the fact that, yeah, I mean, who do we have to blame here? Who can we trust? So when Democrats are coming out and saying, yeah, this seems pretty good, this seems pretty safe, that this is actually well-researched, well-thought-out, the intel they've received is good, it's solid, you got to kind of just go, all right, maybe they're just doing what they should be doing. But not all Dems are on board, though. Clip 18 we're going to play for you. Tim Kaine is actually referring to these narco-terrorists as a struggling survivors. Take a listen.
I'd like to share with you my concerns about the individuals who've been killed, but I can't for the same reason. I'd like to share with you my concerns about the second strike that killed struggling survivors clinging to the shipwreck on September 2. But I can't fully explain why this is so outrageous, because most of what I know from a classified setting. Unlike Senator Schumer, I've not seen the video yet.
Okay, so he hasn't seen the video yet, so what the heck are you talking about, dude? What the heck are you talking about? See, this is the problem. It's political theatrics. We don't know what side to believe. I always doubt the government, regardless of who is occupying the White House. And so I like to see the evidence. Unfortunately, though, the Pentagon is not going to be putting that out. But it's important to note that the issue of Venezuela is not really something that just recently surfaced. You know, President Trump was the first one to go after Maduro. Maduro has been criticized for quite some time now, specifically in 2015, because even over Barack Obama, the guy, remember him? He had a bone to pick with Nicolas Maduro at the time. Take a listen to clip three and the throwback we just recently found.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro lashed out at the U.S. after President Barack Obama declared Venezuela a national security threat and signed an executive order approving new sanctions against the country.
Ah, so it's fine then. But now Nicolas Maduro is a victim. And the drugs that he's trying to push his way into the United States, well, tough luck. See, this is the problem with the left, right? They think we can't find these things. We think, or they think, that we are just dumb enough to buy into the narrative. Yes, would I like to see some proof? Absolutely. But the reality of it is what are we going to do about that? They're not going to show it to us. They've made it very, very clear. It's something that I have been very pushy on. When Senator John Fetterman's coming to you and saying that everything is good, like they're really researching this, this isn't just some type of random strikes on any boats that are in this region, that holds a lot of credibility. And so we sit back and we watch as this continues on. It's very, very important to note that these Democrats are going to utilize this as, well, political leverage. Isn't it crazy how we shifted from the Epstein files to now this? This is their big scandal. So again, keep in mind, this is what they're up to. This is what they're doing. Now, it's not stopping the Pentagon from continuing to do these airstrikes. They just recently carried out another three more strikes on suspected drug vessels. Eight of these narco-terrorists, according to the Pentagon, were in fact killed. So keep that in mind. Again, time and time again, we continue to see this, but so far, I mean, Democrats have no evidence of what they're trying to allege. Zero. Maybe Pete Hegseth is doing his best to hold this footage, allow Democrats to go out there and continue to lie, and then when he releases it, it completely highlights the fact that they're part of bulls. They're BSing the American people. That's probably more likely than what they're trying to sell us right now. I hope that's the case, at least. All right, let's turn to Brown University, because obviously that's been a scandal in itself. As many of you guys know, sadly, two students over at Brown University were killed over the weekend. We still don't have a suspect. Now, if you're wondering, where the heck is the camera footage from inside the school that would have caught the shooter going in and out of the building and or in and out of the campus? Well, I hate to tell you, we don't have any. We don't have any. The only thing we can provide you with is crappy neighborhood footage from Ring doorbell cameras. If you're asking yourselves why, well, we keep asking ourselves that. At this point, both local PD and the federal government have done a horrible job at being transparent with the American people. Even the FBI yesterday saying, oh, we're putting out new enhanced video, new enhanced photos. And again, you can't even see the person's face. It's taken from a distance. Again, what the heck's going on here? Well, it's something that even mainstream journalists have to really ask. We're forcing their hand because the American people are demanding answers here. And in clip five, you're going to hear one reporter try to grill the police about how there's no footage being released from on the school campus. Take a listen.
Let me try to explain that. So as President Paxton knows, there was a major addition put on that building within the last 5 years or so. That is a modern building attached to a much older one in the back. So it doesn't come as a surprise to me, at least, that there are cameras in the newer part of the building. And there is video footage, okay? So there's the back part of the building, old part, and front part, new part. The shooting occurs in the old part, towards the back, up towards Hope Street. In that older part of the building, there are fewer, if any, cameras in that location. I imagine because it's an older building. So as students are fleeing the area of the shooting into the new part of the building, there are cameras in that brand new building that show that chaos. But the only video of the presumed, anticipated, suspected, however you want to define it, person of interest, you have it. We would release it if we thought it would be helpful in identifying this subject, because we are relying on the press and public to help get us there. There would be no reason for us to hold it back. We're looking for the best image we can.
Dan, got a follow-up.
Attorney General, thank you for explaining that.
So obviously, not a good justification for any of this. It's really hard for anyone to wrap their minds around this. The fact that there's an old part of the building, which wouldn't have access. Maybe someone plotted that. But it gets even worse for the school, right? Let's just say that's okay. We could move past that. It's really hard to move past this report that came out from Fox. Brown University's campus alert siren failed to be activated after the first, and even the first message, I should say, that went out to students. It took them about 17 minutes to do just that. So the shooter was somehow able to go into a classroom, shoot up a classroom, and it took the school 17 minutes before they warned other students. How is that even possible? Take a listen to clip 6 and how the Brown University president reacted when she was grilled on that.
The walk. Do you believe that Brown had the precautions and safety measures in place before the shooting that were appropriate and necessary?
I do. And in fact, I'm glad you mentioned the sirens because I think there's been some misinformation about that. We have two security systems that we can activate in a time of an emergency. One is a system that sends out text messages, phone calls, emails, and it was activated within minutes of the incident. Those messages went out to 20,000 individuals, so all alerts. We also have a system of sirens. There are 3 sirens placed across campus. Those get activated when there is a broad-scale emergency and we want people to rush into buildings. In the case of an active shooter, activating that system could have caused people to rush into Barrison Hall. So that's not a system that we would ever use in the case of an active shooter. So,
just to follow up, it does say on the website when it was launched that it is for an active shooter.
It depends on the circumstances and where the active shooter would be, but you don't want to ever get people rushing into buildings that might be the site of an active shooting.
That's it.
That's my understanding.
Go ahead, sir.
All right, well, at least it took you 17 minutes to get that message out to those who were on campus. And that's the big problem here, right? You could sit here and tell me time and time again that the sirens aren't meant for what should be meant for. Maybe have someone go over the intercom system. I mean, there's just no way. There's no way this is a valid reason. I don't think they're being transparent. I don't think they're being truthful. I think they're intentionally withholding information because there's something here. The fact that they won't even tell you what the shooter screamed out prior to opening fire tells you everything you need to know. Even Ed Wilkin is highlighting just that. Six press conferences, and each one officials won't say what the Brown attacker shouted before he killed a Republican club VP. Six. And who are they to decide that this has no relevancy to the American people, that it won't help solve this case? I mean, that's what they were asked about. Why wouldn't you release all of that information? I mean, at this point, there's no reason to withhold it unless the reporting is true. And that reporting says that this individual, this is according to Laura Loomer, screamed out Allah Akbar before going after these students. That's the only thing that makes sense here. You see, it feels like a massive cover-up. And if they really truthfully didn't want us to think that, then why not be more transparent? There is no excuse for the lack of surveillance footage. When you walk onto a college campus, there are cameras everywhere, everywhere. We live in a surveillance state. You're telling me the best you have is neighborhood footage? That's garbage. Absolute garbage. Everyone knows it's garbage. It's very, very apparent that there's a cover-up going on here. And I get it. There are rumors on social media that a certain person has had their social media accounts pulled off, as well as they're taken down from the school website. Again, we don't know who this person is, nor will we echo their name. When the school was asked about it, the president said she had no idea what they were talking about when the media asked. So we'll continue to wait to see who this person specifically is. But the individual who others are naming again, who's not being named as a suspect or a person of interest, is someone who, according to the people on social, has a very long history of being a far lefty, pro-Palestinian supporter. So again, we're not going to say this person's name because we don't understand what the relevancy of it is. Truthfully, we don't know if they're a suspect, person of interest, or just someone who might be innocently being targeted. So you got to be careful there. But again, it seems very, very obvious that transparency is not what's happening here. And since we're on the subject matter of left-wing terrorism, let's give you that brief little update regarding that New Year's Eve bombing plot, which the federal government claims they helped prevent, because a fifth person has been arrested. Apparently, this is a Transtifa Marine veteran. Apparently, this individual is looking to recreate Waco on ICE, though. The fifth person, according to them, again, is part of the far-left terrorist group, Turtle Island Liberation Front. And according to federal authorities, they're claiming that this individual, who they're saying is a vet, was a part of these group messages, was going by female pronouns, but doesn't appear to be one. They were also sharing images of, let's see, in the group chat, they were sharing images of rifles and body armor as well. The federal agents found sniper training manuals, SWAT training manuals, assault rifles, and multiple rounds of ammunition that was apparently found at the subject's home. So we'll just keep sitting back and watching. Obviously, this is an individual who is not pro-ICE, even one sign. What they've included in the court filings, death to ICE, is a sign that they had at their home as well. So we'll keep our eyes on that as it continues to develop. But again, folks, the federal government claiming that they helped prevent a left-wing terrorist attack. We will see, though, as it continues to develop. All right, we're about to go to a break in just a bit, but before we do, I just want to remind you all to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. It's the final days of Christmas sale going on right now, which means 60% off some of your favorite supplements. The final days, folks. So you got to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. If you're looking for 60% off your Shilajit gummies, sea moss gummies, and your methylene blue as well. We know those are our favorite items over at the shop. It sells out pretty quickly. So we're giving you guys an incredible discount over at the alexjonesstore.com right now. So head on over to the shop. Make sure you snag these deals before we run out. Just also as a reminder, folks, all other supplements are up to 40% off when you try them once. And when you subscribe, you get 50% off every single month for life. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab it. I know the sale is going to last just for a couple more hours, so head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Feel your body, your minds, and power the InfoWar machine, folks, because without your support, we can't keep things up and running, and we greatly appreciate it, of course, when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, folks, a couple more hours left in that sale. All right, in the meantime, when we come back, I bring you the latest in regards to that Australian Islamic terrorist attack. Their own leaders are too cowardly to go out there and criticize Islam openly. And even one was like stumbling over his words, tripping, shaking, trembling, was afraid on live television. You won't believe it. Well, you'll believe it, but you won't believe it when you actually see it. We'll be right back.
My pillow alone, just my pillow, not counting me, it costs them over $200 million directly related to Arctic frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, tried to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our election. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex. Things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. My number one thing is we need to secure our election platform.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. almost all of it made in America. Your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt, which are amazing. Right. I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at MyPillow.com/Alex. And again, I want to be clear. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at TheAlexShowStore.com or at MyPillow.com/Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. We only get one shot at this. And like I said about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, would you, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground. You know, look what they've destroyed, tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at. And it's because of all of you, because you buy our products. And that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For it, you go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents, you guys. You can get the best Christmas presents ever. The Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those, and then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels that actually work. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. And so you walk on them and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome. This patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product. And not 29, not as low as $29.98. And I want to show you one more. You guys go there and you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get basically five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and it's a win-win-win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great, Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, more proud than anyone that support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here that we want to catch you up on. So welcome to the Wednesday edition of the program. Oh man, a lot going on. A lot going on right now. We're keeping our eye on a couple of things going on. I see a couple of congressional hearings happening right now. We'll bring it to you if anything interesting happens, of course. But I've got my eye still on Australia. Now, as many of you guys know, there was an Islamic terrorist attack that took place on the first night of Hanukkah in Australia. Two Islamic terrorists opened fire on a group of individuals who just happened to be Jewish and celebrating Hanukkah as they were just literally laying on the beach. So right now, the officials in Australia are a bunch of cowards. They're talking about gun control. They're talking about hate speech. They're talking about right-wing extremism. They're talking about everything except the actual core issues here, and that is Islam. Because you wouldn't want to offend these jihadists, of course. And that's the kind of predicament these politicians find themselves in. They're afraid of the backlash if they go after the individuals committing the actual terror attacks. I want you to listen to clip 7 because the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia, well, he is weak. He, instead of calling out the actual individuals surrounding the terror attack, wants to dance around the issue and just go after hate speech in whole, at a whole, not the actual individuals who inspired those two to go out there and commit the act. Take a listen.
Do you feel like there needs to be and should there be a greater emphasis on hate speech from Muslim clerics in the western part of Sydney?
I think, as I said earlier, what we've done is criminalise more forms of hate speech. And, you know, we've criminalised the Nazi salute. Obviously, that's in its own context. But we need to be looking at all of this. And it is really important that we have.
So should there be a greater emphasis on this hate speech from Muslim clerics then?
We will go through all of this. I emphasise that we have done more in terms of criminalising hate speech than we have seen from any other government. But we need to look at all of this, and we need to make sure that we've got the right laws in place, and that we are doing everything we can to keep safe the vibrant multicultural society that we have.
The vibrant multicultural society that we have. No, we actually didn't have it until you brought these people in. You see, he's so fearful that you literally heard him stumbling. In his mind, all of the red flags were going off because he knows if he says the wrong thing and ticks off the Islamic terrorists, well, guess what's going to happen? They're going to come after him. So instead of being truthful, defending the people of his country, he instead takes the easy way out. Oh, we banned the Nazi salute. We did something. Come on. Give us some credit. See, this is what they do. They go with the easiest fight possible. The easiest fight is going after everyone except Islam. Those who follow, those are the clerks who continue to read from the Quran and read it authentically and as what it's written as. I don't know if you've read it. I recommend everyone do. If you read it, you'll realize you don't want these people to be your neighbors. You don't want them to be your neighbors. But it's a vibrant, multicultural experience going on right now in Australia. And apparently the defense minister doesn't want to disrupt that. Australia is full of cowards, unfortunately, who do not actually want to stick up for their people and say what is factually true. They've imported people that hate them and is bringing down the quality of life in Australia as it is here in the United States. We see it front and center. You know, when you sit there and you just try to go to a Christmas parade or you try to go to a Christmas market, there's barricades. You have to walk through steel, concrete. Why? Well, because we didn't live like this beforehand, right? I remember as a child going to these things and never having to walk through steel and concrete barricades. So something's changed over these last few years. And what is that? Well, we've imported the third world, which include people that hate us. And we know, we just can't say it out loud, that there's a terror threat looming in this country as well. So instead of directing and trying to talk about the actual core issue here, which is the individuals you've imported that hate you, we're going to dance around that issue. Oh, we've banned hate speech. We've done our part. The government's only job, and let's just talk about it here in the United States, the government's only job is to protect the people. Nothing else. Nothing else. It's clear foreign governments have failed to do just that, and our own government has failed to do just that. Now, why? If I could speculate for a second, it's probably because every single terrorist attack leads to the right that the government thinks they have to pull away your rights. You see, they think they could out-legislate your rights and slowly start chipping away at it. We saw it with 9/11, obviously, with the Patriot Act. And when they saw they were able to get away with that because of so many lawmakers who jumped on board and so many judges were too afraid to sit there and say, well, this does violate their personal rights, everyone just complied. Everyone just complied. So what's the incentive to protect the people when you sit back and you watch what could happen? One terror attack validates whatever you want to do afterwards. That's how they see it. And so we sit back and we watch all this going down in Australia and here in the United States. There's a reason why we've imported the third world. If you truly do love this country, you would not want this. It doesn't matter whether they're Muslim or whatever else it is. We've imported people from countries that hate us, countries that can't actually contribute. We know this because they don't have the level of education that you and I do. There's a lot of reasons for that. Number one, because they want to chip away your rights. Number two, I would say because they become reliant on the government, these individuals. That's the reason why the Biden regime is literally flying them into the country, because they wanted them here. Those are people who are incapable of being able to survive on their own. They leech onto the government. And that is exactly what Democrats want. They want you to have less rights, and they want you to need them. So we're in a really, really sad situation right now, where even our own current administration is very fearful of speaking the truth. You know, yesterday, it took a very long time, but yesterday I was watching the president as he was speaking during the Hanukkah celebration he had at the White House, and he finally did say the word Islamic terrorism, but he used the word radical. I don't know why we keep using that. Anyone who says radical Islam is someone who has not read the Quran. The word radical insinuates that there's some type of peaceful version of the Quran. I haven't seen it yet. There's someone who's following that religion. I guess you could just pick and choose what you want, but the reality of it is if you're strictly following what's in the Quran, you are called on to commit acts of violence over 100 times against non-believers. So the president sits back and says radical Islam. He's like making, it's pretty much like he's making an excuse. There's no other way to see it. Yes, of course there are peaceful Muslims. Of course there are. But those are the ones who are picking and choosing what parts of the Quran to actually, the Quran to follow. And the reality of it is the ones that are radical are the ones that are actually following the religion. But they don't want to talk about that. They never do. We're going to keep our eye on that, of course. There's more also that I want to talk about because we'll get to this later in the show. In India and other places as of right now, they're blaming President Trump for a lot, especially the Muslim population. Apparently, they're committing acts of violence against women and children, sexual assaults against children. And they're blaming that on President Trump. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. I want to give you an update. John Solomon did a report yesterday regarding the latest developments in the FBI and the DOJ going after those who abuse their powers in the Biden regime. Well, they're handing off emails to Congress right now, and he thinks that political prosecution, or I shouldn't say political, I should say prosecutions are coming. He's trying to sell you on this. Take a listen to Clip 8 in his full report.
The Justice Department and FBI are about to turn over a tranche of emails showing that the Justice Department, the Biden Justice Department, did not have probable cause, did not meet the standard for a search warrant when they raided President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. That is significant. Why? It's in the statutory limit. It is prosecutable in the state of Florida, so you're not dealing with Virginia or Washington or New York jurors. And it could lead to both criminal charges against the prosecutors if they misled the court, or civil litigations where the president sues his own Justice Department saying, you violated my Fourth Amendment right against illegal search and seizure. And so those are really, this is a significant, this may be the most important document today.
This is a blockbuster. You're telling me there actually exist communications between people that showed that they didn't have probable cause, which remember back in August that year, there was the whole, I think it was 21, there was this whole firestorm about this. And they went on TV every night and said that. You're saying they not only they had a discussion behind, they actually went out and lied about it in media every single day on MSNBC and in the New York Times.
Well, here's the real question. We're going to have to find out what they represented to the judge to get that search warrant signed, because the FBI, the Washington field office of the FBI, which, by the way, was no fan of Donald Trump's. They were behind January 6th. They were behind Russia collusion. They were telling the Biden Justice Department there was not a probable cause to raid Mar-a-Lago. That is a significant. These are emails and memos from inside the Washington field office of the FBI, an anti-Trump field office. That is a really significant memo. We haven't seen the documents yet. We know what they generally say, but we're going to see. They're going to get turned over to Grassley in Jordan today, and then Jack Smith's on the Hill tomorrow for a deposition. If he shows up, I'm sure he's going to be confronted by these documents.
I'm sure he'll be confronted with criminal charges, though. Likely not. Likely not. See, here's the thing, right? Because when we sit here and ask these fair questions, before I'm critical of DOJ and the FBI, I always ask. We always ask about criminal investigations going on right now, and they always say we can't talk about any of that. So an ongoing investigation. So you want me to believe that the pipelines from the FBI to John Solomon somehow are setting this down? And it's legit. Also, by the way, it wasn't just John Solomon who got this. It was also Fox News. So two very friendly media groups receiving this information from the FBI. Now, how do I know that they're friendly? Well, they're not very critical of the administration, specifically the FBI. They will constantly have individuals on, and they don't do any pushback. It's just fluffy little pieces. And I remember strictly when John Solomon was talking about the Jeffrey Epstein saga that was going on, he wasn't critical. And then he teased that something was coming. Buckle up. And then he got another exclusive a couple of days later. So hear me out. If what he's saying is true and they have proof, they have emails, that the Biden regime somehow, some way was sending down information through emails that claimed that they knew that there wasn't enough probable cause to search President Trump's Mar-a-Lago. Well, and guess what? Why would you be handing that off to Congress? Because time and time again, we're told that it's an ongoing investigation involving a criminal matter, that they can't talk to us. They can't give us anything. So it's very likely the reason why they're leaking this information to these two friendly media outlets is due to the fact that, well, if you do just that, it likely means that there's nothing of substance happening, especially because they're giving it to Congress. Top prosecutor is punting and handing off to Congress. That's what I see here. I don't believe there's criminal indictments coming anytime soon on this subject matter. I don't believe that those lawyers who were involved in all of this are shaking their boots, afraid about being disbarred potentially for what they were doing behind the scenes. And it's very likely the judge that signed that warrant was also involved in all of this. And I'm sure they're not shaken either. You see, this is what's going on right now. I believe whenever you see bad PR that's happening, which we see happening right now over at the FBI, they're not getting glamorous coverage. They always put something else out there that looks favorable. It's a distraction. I truly believe this is a distraction at this point in the game. Again, they're not giving this information out to anyone except these two outlets. They constantly are getting the exclusives. Why? Because they publish it and no follow-up questions of aggression are really asked there. Why are you guys just handing it over to Congress? Why isn't this going straight to the DOJ's office? And are there charges following from this? What's pending? What kind of criminal matters are actually pending? I don't think anything is happening. I'm not going to sit here and sell to you. I would love to be wrong on the subject matter too, by the way. I'd encourage it. But everything's a mess right now, and we all know it. You know, Susie Wiles did an interview with Vanity Fair, and I don't know why they do this. We all know these outlets are not friendly, that they, in fact, strongly dislike the Trump administration and conservatives as a whole. And so I guess they thought somehow, some way, that they were going to be doing this very stylish interview, photo shoot. They thought it was going to be for, I don't know what they thought. It's Vanity Fair. It's literally Vanity Fair. But Susie Wiles, who doesn't really do interviews, did an interview with Vanity Fair. And in it, they say that she made several accusations against several key members, including the president, calling him an alcoholic's personality, describing him as that, I should say. President Trump not bothered by it, though, saying, I don't drink alcohol, so everyone knows that. But I've often said that if I did, I'd have a very good chance of being an alcoholic. Obviously, his brother passing away from just that, according to also the Vanity Fair report that came out. She refers to J.D. Vance, the vice president, as a conspiracy theorist. Goes on to say that Pam Bondi completely whiffed the Jeffrey Epstein case files. Goes after Russ Vogt as well. It's just, oh, and then there's Elon Musk too, but just more ketamine jabs. Now she's claiming that this was a misrepresentation of what the interview was actually all about. She put out a statement, and then everyone in the administration piled on and put out tweets and saying, you know, we love Susie. It was kind of bizarre too. Literally everyone down the line, regardless of what she said about them, put out a tweet around the same time, praising Susie Wiles for all the great things she's done, according to them. And again, she's claiming, now she's very specific here. She's claiming that they framed it wrong. It's a hit piece on me. And then she goes on to ripping them. Now, again, she's not saying that they're lying, that they're making this up. It's very likely that the reporter actually recorded it. And I'm sure that reporter will soon release it because that's a heck of an accusation being made and thrown your way. So before I jump to any conclusion, she's not exactly denying what was said specifically. She's just saying that it was framed in a way that she takes as a hit piece. Now, again, not Susie Wiles related, but just in general, I will tell you this. I have tried time and time again to speak to certain individuals. They don't want to talk. They don't want to talk. A lot of us who are critical of the Trump administration are blocked out. And in fact, if you want to publish a story about them, they often refer to it as a hit piece, even though it's a fair piece. They say you're lying, you're not telling the truth, even though you might have physical evidence that you're not lying. I know that. I had an email when I reached out for comment to one federal agency. They told me that it was not true. When I followed up and said, well, I physically have an email, so are you telling me this email is not real? I was then told, well, we just don't want that getting out. So this is what happens time and time again. And it's really hard for me to wrap my mind all around this because why would you even talk to Vanity Fair in the first place? You know they're going after you. You know they don't like you. I always say, don't feed the pigeons. The mainstream media is the pigeons. Why would you give them anything? Why would you give them anything? And it's kind of crazy considering the fact that so many of us have been so kind. We've given fair coverage and we don't get that level of access. But Vanity Fair, who has a history of publishing false information, somehow, some way gets exclusive access to very high up people within the Trump administration. Then you're upset because what? You're saying that they misframed whatever you told them? I mean, I don't even understand the argument here. You gave them a quote, they ran it, and now you're claiming that it was wrong, it's false. Now the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, is responding to these claims. We're gonna play clip 9 for you. Take a listen.
As for the Vanity Fair article, Michael, I'll take your question directly. This is, unfortunately, another example of disingenuous reporting, where you have a reporter who took the chief of staff's words wildly out of context, did not include the context those conversations were had within. And then further, I think the most egregious part of this article was the bias of omission that was clearly present. And we see a lot of this when dealing with the media every day. You will leave out important context, leave out comments and facts. You know, many people in this building spoke with that reporter, and those comments were never included in the story, probably because it didn't push this false narrative of chaos and confusion that the reporter was clearly trying to push. So what I'll say about our chief of staff, as you've seen from not just myself, but also the entire cabinet, and a groundswell of support from people on Capitol Hill who don't even work in this building, about how incredible Susie Wiles has been to President Trump. And he's been able to accomplish so much because of his leadership and his tenacity, but also because of Chief of Staff Wiles' leadership and her ability to effectuate his agenda. So thank you.
All right, it sounds good. But folks, again, it's very likely the White House probably even has a record. The conversations that were had. If they don't, that's amateur. But the reporter, of course, the reporter has this recorded. Now it's a matter of if they're going to release it or not. Now again, I don't really care for it. Of course, they're going to paint out the White House to be chaotic, a bunch of backstabbers, and say you were talking junk. And I don't know why you'd call the vice president a conspiracy theorist. Doesn't really seem to add up. But thankfully, J.D. Vance, well, he's very, very polite in his response. Take a listen to clip 10.
If Susie, I'll trust what you said. I haven't looked at the article. I, of course, have heard about it. But conspiracy theorist, sometimes I am a conspiracy theorist, but I only believe in the conspiracy theories that are true. Yeah. And by the way, Susie and I have joked in private and in public about that for a long time. For example, I believed in the crazy conspiracy theory back in 2020 that it was stupid to mask 3-year-olds at the height of the COVID pandemic, that we should actually let them develop some language skills. You know, I believed in this crazy conspiracy theory that the media and the government were covering up the fact that Joe Biden was clearly unable to do the job. And I believed in the conspiracy theory that Joe Biden was trying to throw his political opponents in jail rather than win an argument against his political opponents. So, at least on some of these conspiracy theories, it turns out that a conspiracy theory is just something that was true 6 months before the media admitted it. And that's my understanding. Now, look, I do want to say something about Susie, though, because, again, having not read this article, Susie is a person I've come to know very, very well. And, you know, a lot of you probably ask yourself, what is it like behind the scenes? What's going on, actually, behind the scenes of the Trump administration? And I'll tell you, the president is exactly in private who he is in public. Like, I'll tell you a little story. A week or so ago, I walk into the Oval Office, and Marco and I are sitting there talking with the president about something. He says, stop. And he looks at our shoes and says, you guys have terrible shoes. So he goes and gets a shoe catalog. And remember, this is the Christmas season, so the president's got some holiday cheer. He goes and gets a shoe catalog and gets his favorite shoes and orders like four pairs of shoes for me and four pairs of shoes for Marco, because he's like, you know, we need our vice president or secretary of state to look their very best. And, you know, then we went back to talking about whatever major, you know, international issue we were talking about. Again, he is exactly in private who he is in public. That's not true of most people in Washington, D.C. It's not. And I've seen so many people who will say one thing to the president's face, Democrats and Republicans, and then will do the exact opposite behind the scenes. You know why I really...
Because the real scandal here was how Vanity Fair portrayed the members of the administration, zooming into their faces, very unflattering photos. All right, this could be the chicken maid, but I think that's the actual hit piece here. When you don't airbrush these photos, or according to some of the members of the administration, I believe they're saying that these photos, and I've never seen their faces up close, were altered to make them look like they had deeper wrinkles, look a mess. They were intentionally unflattering as they zoomed into their face. We have the photos of Levitt as well. This is a problem. This is the big problem. This is the big scandal here. How dare Vanity Fair publish airbrush photos and possibly, according to the accusations they're facing now, edit those images to make them look worse. The one of Caroline Levitt was not flattering. There's no way that she looks like up close. I won't believe it. All right, don't go anywhere. Got more to discuss in just a bit. In the meantime, though, it is the final days of Christmas sale, and it's going on right now. 60% off the mega sale going on right now. Stock up on supplements, your favorite supplements, 60% off right now for a limited time. It's the top sellers, 60% off over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too, and so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well. Kick off the second hour of the program in just a little bit. Thanks for hanging tight with us. We got more to discuss in just a few moments. We're also going to be exposing Ilhan Omar a little bit. There's an individual out there who is saying that Ilhan Omar actually lied about her birth year, and it's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. So we're excited to have AJ Kern on the program in just a little bit. She has been the one laying out the accusations in regards to Ilhan Omar not being truthful about her birth year. Now, this is a big deal for citizenship. I'll tell you why later in the program. We're also going to be discussing Chip Roy and Marjorie Taylor Greene, the two congressional members, kind of, you know, get into a little bit of a fight. It's interesting because, as many of you guys know, MTG, we're obviously a fan of her. She was on with Alex. I'll play the clip of her yesterday while Chip Roy actually responded to the claims that were made by the congresswoman in regards to the attempts to sterilize children. She's saying that Chip Roy is actually working against the will of the people in regards to that as a supporter of just that. But the amendment he's adding. We'll play both of their clips in just a moment. I also want to tell you about its devastating murder case, and it actually has been making some wicked turns lately. This rapper, and I know you don't know him, I've never heard of his music, probably for the best, but his name is David. There was a girlfriend, a 14-year-old girlfriend he had. Now, again, he's 20, so you know what that means. But his girlfriend was found after running away from home, dead in a truck. I mean, sorry, it was a Tesla that belonged to him, according to the records. Well, right now, there's a grand jury going on right now, but the private investigator who's been looking into all of this, the private investigator who apparently was hired by the owners of the home that he rented. Well, that PI is coming out and saying that he actually found a burn cage inside his home. Now, again, keep in mind, this young girl was murdered, it looks like, and her body was stuffed into the back seat, the trunk, I should say, of the Tesla. So we're going to go through the very latest on that because it's something that I think everyone should be paying attention to. This is a very, very important story. Plus, you know, the Associated Press put out an insane story, and we'll go through it in a little bit, in regards to how President Trump is responsible for young children in Bangladesh being sexually assaulted. If you're wondering how it's President Trump's fault, well, it's because he cut aid. He cut aid. Totally missing on the fact that these are Muslims, of course. It's a very compelling story, one that's meant to obviously pull at the heartstrings. They won't tell you all the details, of course, but they're blaming the foreign aid cuts. Yes, because we have to bribe Muslim men to not rape children. That's the only validation behind any of this, of course. So we'll go through this story in a little bit because it's interesting. They keep doing this. I remember we talked about it. They were going through the U.S. aid cuts and saying that, oh, look, all these gay men in Africa are getting AIDS now because of President Trump. Oh. So you mean President Trump is giving them AIDS? Not the fact that they are having homosexual sex, putting themselves at risk, unprotected sex, and can't control themselves, acting like animals. Let's just put it out like that. And then they're contracting AIDS. I mean, literally one of the interviews that was conducted, this individual was literally screaming about how, oh, President Trump cut our medical programs, what gave us preventatives from getting AIDS. And now, just a couple of weeks after those cuts were made, I have AIDS. I have HIV. So you knew that you weren't getting your preventatives and you still were such a disgusting pervert that you couldn't stop having gay sex, and somehow it's President Trump's fault. It makes sense when you don't think about it. That's what it does. So we'll talk about that in a bit as well. We'll also be talking about Melania Trump. She has a new film coming out and it looks like a good one. She just dropped the exclusive trailer and, you know, I'm kind of obsessed with Melania Trump. Maybe it's the girl in me, maybe, but she is absolutely beautiful, and I look forward to playing this trailer in a little bit because, folks, anytime I get a highlight This beautiful first lady, I always take the opportunity to do just that. So we have that coming in just a few moments. We will also be taking your phone calls in the second hour of the program as well. So you're going to want to stay put. All right, we've got a lot more to discuss in a little bit. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is the final days of Christmas sale. 60% off some of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way.
Challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it's reorders every month, and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot going on in the second hour of the show. We will be taking your calls both in the first, or I guess you should say second hour and the third hour of the program. So you want to chat about a new story you've covered so far, the stories we're covering up ahead, give us a call, 877-789-2539. Again, that is 877-789-2539. We're keeping it relevant to the topics we've discussed thus far. Obviously, a lot more to discuss. But if you want to weigh in, feel free to give us a call. All right, let's talk about something that happened yesterday, actually, on InfoWars. Don't know if you saw it. Alex was doing an interview yesterday. I probably saw it. With Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was very insightful because we learned something new. Now, MTG was fired up because she has brought forward a bill which is supposed to protect children from, obviously, gender mutilation. Now, they're trying to sterilize children. And so Greene's goal with H.R. 3492 is to protect these kids. Now, she made some accusations yesterday when she was on with none other than Alex Jones. Let's play clip 11 for you guys in case you missed it.
Chip Roy went through law school, Alex. He should know better. I think he is being misled. I don't know by who, but this was a horrible decision he's making, especially if he wants to be the attorney general of the state of Texas for the people, the great people in Texas. They want people like Ken Paxton. They want fighters, and they want someone that will stand up to Gavin Newsom. His amendment allows Gavin Newsom to continue what he's doing with these awful, it's child abuse. It's sexual child abuse. It's castration of minors. It's mastectomies of minors. It's chemical castration of minors. We should never limit the scope of that. That should be criminalized on every single aspect. This is the most common sense thing to do.
Well, it is common sense. And it's pretty hard to wrap my mind around the fact that somebody might not actually support this. So why wouldn't Chip Roy support this? Why would he add an amendment that would taint what MTG is trying to do? Especially because Chip Roy is begging and pleading with Texans to promote him to be the state's AG. Now, you know, I'm very critical of just that. I'll talk about that a little bit. But let's take a listen to Chip Roy's rebuttal in clip 12.
That's the case. Marjorie was given this vote this week to buy her vote on the National Defense Authorization Act. Everybody knows it. It happened right there on the floor of the House. The majority leader said, Marjorie, would you like to have your bill brought up to the floor? And guess what? Got a yes vote on the rule for the National Defense Authorization Act. And that's the kind of shit that keeps happening around this institution all the time, including on our side of the aisle. And I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of what happened in the Judiciary Committee when we should have done it there. We should have addressed it in the Judiciary Committee. The people who are supposed to be vanguards of the Constitution.
Okay, so obviously Chip Roy really drumming this up, but there's no reason for him to, and you notice how he's not specifically defending what MTG is saying about his amendment at all. No, he's not actually doing that. He's just instead going after her and is upset because MTG refused to originally vote for the NDAA. And then all of a sudden that changed. Now, she put up a rebuttal, of course, to his claims, saying that in the end, though, on the final passage of NDAA, that she was just a no vote because she doesn't want to fund foreign wars. Chip is now trying to pass his amendment that is actually weakening, obviously, my bill. It protects privately funded pediatric gender clinics. So Chip not really providing a rebuttal on that claim. Instead saying, I'm really mad at MTG because she got her way. Chip, I don't know if you've been paying attention what's going on here in Texas, but Texan parents are fired up. They're ticked off because their children are being targeted. Their children are being targeted by left-wing groups and the money-hungry individuals within the medical industry. And what's going on right now here in Texas is they've had enough of all of this. In fact, they want this nonsense purged from both public schools and obviously the propaganda to stop feeding their children to thinking. Maybe I was born in the wrong body. You know, when young girls are getting their breasts cut off and young men are pretending to be women, we've got a problem here. We've got a problem here. Yesterday, side note, I was actually at Home Goods doing what I do best, and that's buying everything that I don't actually need. And I went up to the register, in case you didn't know, we're in Austin. And for the first time I've actually ever seen this, there was what I thought was a goth boy, very goth looking. It was actually a transgender individual who, according to their own homemade name tag, was an individual who goes by the pronouns of they, them. Let me just give you this. They weren't given that name tag by Home Goods, by the way. They actually, with a post-it note, put that underneath their name tag and then taped it with scotch tape to their shirt. Now, normally, as an adult, you would be fired from a job because, well, that's absurd. Also a clear indicator that you're struggling with mental health issues. But in today's society in Austin, Texas, you can't really fire someone for that because the reality is that they file a lawsuit, you'll have to dish out millions of dollars to someone who's not worthy of that money. Well, this individual was clearly not well in the head. And even after multiple times being instructing this person to, all right, stop taping my things. It's salt lady or dude, whatever you want to call yourself. I didn't know what the biological gender was. It was very difficult to see. But the reality of it is this. This is probably a child who was told back in the day that they could be whatever gender they want to be. But the English language actually has no meaning at all. And so if you want to go by they, them rather than he or she, you could just decide to do that. And the rest of the world is forced to comply with you. Now, this individual, while I'm instructing them to stop taping my items, I mean, literally wrapping. I bought tomato sauce, folks. And he's wrapping it repeatedly in paper and then taping it like it's a gift for Christmas. And when, and I had multiple items and I was just like, dude, this is going to take me forever to unwrap it. Stop it. Stop it. And when I told him three times to stop it and he wouldn't stop it. The point to all of this is that these individuals who think that they could just change their gender, misuse the English language, go by pronouns that don't make actual sense, decide that even though I'm asking them to stop doing something, to keep doing it. Because why? Because, well, we've catered to them. We've coddled them over the years. Instead of specifically addressing those mental health issues, we pretend like this is normal. Like I have to be compassionate and understand what's going on with them. I don't. Now, naturally, I am a compassionate person, and nor did I get loud or angry. All right, after, like, the third, I'm like, told you to stop doing that. Cut it out. But my whole thing here is that we've allowed these children to think that this world has to manipulate, be manipulated around them and their desires, their needs. No, that's not the case. You see, they're intentionally doing this. They're intentionally going after children and destroying their lives. You know, this young man, I believed it was a young man, was someone who's probably never been told no. You can't do that. And so now what's going on is they're trying to assimilate to normal society. When someone gives them instructions, they don't want to do it. They don't do it. They don't do it. Now, if you really want to set your child up for success, you would say, hey, listen, you're born a boy, you're a boy. You're born a girl, you're a girl. So what? You're a girl who likes to play sports. You're called a tomboy. You don't have to be a girly girl. But that's not what they're doing. The profit involved in mutilating children is excessive. And that's the reason why they're cashing in. You heard Gavin Newsom go out and say that he wants more trans kids, even admitting, in fact, we played this clip for you, admitting that it's actually not very popular, but he still wants to do it anyway. They are trying their very best to destroy these children, our children. And whether you allow it to happen or not, it's up to you. Now, for someone like Chip Roy, who's going to try to allow it to happen, just because he's not happy with MTG. Yeah, it's not fair. We're voting for her bill. Not fair. Get over it, Chip. You see, this is why no one in D.C. likes Chip Roy. In fact, they're encouraging him to run for Texas AG just because they want him out of their swamp. He's annoying. Anyone who's worked with him knows that. I've heard that he's literally been fired from every job he's ever held in politics. Those are rumors. Chip Roy is a very unlikable person, and he has now just decided to step into this fight, and he wants to pretend like he has been an individual battling out the corruption. I don't know what he's trying to sell Texans, but they're not going to buy it. We hope they don't buy it. We hope they don't buy it. And, you know, as we sit back and watch all of this unravel, I've got to tell you, folks, I've had enough of seeing Chip Roy go out there and pretend like everything's okay, like he should be doing this, like this is acceptable due. By the way, folks, Control Room, I just sent you guys over. Fannie Willis is speaking right now over in Fulton County. I just sent you guys the link. We'll bring that to you guys in just a moment. But it's interesting because Fannie Willis right now is actually testifying in front of the Senate committee, something that she's been trying to avoid. This is in Georgia right now. Obviously, she's tried her very best to go around doing this and not having to do this, but time is up. Time is up, and she is now in front of the committee and testifying under oath. We'll be dipping in and out of this, but I see that she's speaking to the senators itself. She looks agitated to be there. We'll bring that to you once we have that going. Again, Fannie Willis accused of a lot of different things. She's accused of being corrupt. She's accused of giving her boyfriend a job. It apparently wasn't her boyfriend, but they've traveled together since their last time in a courtroom. Quite often, actually. Remember, she carries caches of bags around, and that was her justification for so much. And now it looks like in the state of Georgia, they're actually trying to hold her accountable. She's been dodging this. And even the DOJ, we announced that yesterday as well. They're going after Fannie Willis, too. So we'll bring that feed to you once we have it live. Fannie Willis is speaking now to the Senate. All right, let's listen in on this one.
If that replaced any other units, then who was a part of that unit once it was stood up?
And I'm actually not sure we called it the anti-corruption unit when we first took over. So when I became the district attorney, Paul Howard had 101 police brutality cases, many that went back to years, maybe to 2009. People in the community were very upset. It was both unfair to the law enforcement officers and to the community that decisions were not made. And so I knew that one of the things that I was going to have to do was to make sure that every case got looked at and was evaluated. And so I was looking for attorneys to do that. I'm not sure if that's what we called it at first, because I think we called it the Civil Rights Unit, in fact, when we first opened it. I think it was the Civil Rights Unit. At some point, I go to visit other huge district attorney's offices that have kind of the same kind of struggles that I have as a major metro area. I went to visit the Houston district attorney's office at that time. And in that office, they had divided cases. And I thought it was a brilliant way to do business. And so I think that's the point that I then formed a civil rights unit, which would only deal with police brutality, and an anti-corruption unit. So I think when we first started that it was called the civil rights unit.
Okay, how many people are part of that unit once you got it fully operational?
Well, it depends. You know, the county has, in my opinion, stolen people from me, so we can't do the job as effectively as needs to be done. I've had as many as, it varies. It has varied because we had an anti-corruption unit and a civil rights unit. So it's varied.
Can you give us a range?
It really depends on who you're calling the anti-corruption unit. I've probably not had more than two lawyers in that unit, maybe three at any given time, an investigator or two, and a legal assistant. They may have been doing double duty somewhere else.
And you entered into a contract with Chris Campbell to do some taint work as a part of that unit. Is that correct?
That would be the civil rights unit.
Well, it sounds like they were somewhat interchangeable from what you just said. You said that it was called the civil rights unit when it started.
The civil rights unit may have encompassed everything at first, and then it ultimately becomes police brutality cases. And so what Mr. Campbell was, when the police take a statement, if I know you're not an attorney, but there's an issue called Garrity. And what happens is government employees, mostly we're talking about law enforcement officers, they will make a statement to the police, but that statement won't be Mirandized. There's all kinds of legal rules around it. I can't be privy to those statements. I shouldn't have them. Sometimes I think the police almost put them in there intentionally. And so they'll be intertwined in statements and reports. And so what he was hired to do is to redact. So once that I got a file from the GBI when somebody had been shot by an officer, I never read that. That way we were never tainted. That's why we use that word, by never seeing that. And so, yes, he was hired. He had been, I believe my recollection is he had been a former law enforcement officer, and he was a lawyer. I thought he was great for that work.
And Terrence Bradley was involved in that work.
He had been a former probation officer and an attorney. That's one of the reasons that I thought that they would do outstanding at it, because they had long histories in the law enforcement community and that, and lawyers.
Was Mr. Wade?
I have lawyers now currently doing that work.
Was Mr. Wade involved with the taint work?
No.
Mr. Wade, Bradley, and Campbell were law partners. Is that correct at the time?
Loosely is what I understand. I can't tell you about the design of, you'll have to, I can't tell you the design of his firm. I think more so what happened is they shared office space and cost or something, but I don't know. I shouldn't speak to that or speculate to it.
Did you place anyone in charge of the anti-corruption unit, or did everyone that worked for there report directly to you?
I mean, ultimately, everyone reports directly to me, but the anti-corruption unit, so when it was a civil rights unit, yes, it had a lawyer that was over it. His name is Brian Watkins. He is a lawyer that's been practicing law longer than I. And at first he had everything until we realized there was so much volume of work, because it doesn't just do this kind of work. It's not just police brutality now, right? Now it's, police lied, or it's an elected official did something wrong. It just became too much. Once we stood up these units and my county understood we were doing these kind of things, fortunately or unfortunately, the office started to get referrals, and so it just grew.
How many cases has this unit brought to trial approximately?
Oh, I couldn't tell you over the years, but we brought some to trial, especially these police brutality cases. I couldn't tell you exactly, so I'm not going to speculate.
Okay.
It's not as many as, like, my major crimes unit, but I can tell you that the anti-corruption and the civil rights unit, they cost me the most money because of the experts that are needed when you are trying a police case.
How much money would you estimate that you spend a year on that unit?
I can't, and I'm not.
You can't, and you're not what? I'm sorry?
I'm not going to speculate to it. I can't estimate how much.
Okay. Is that something you could provide for the committee?
I don't know that I can. What happens is I have a professional services budget, and my top deputies of certain units, so my ED over major crimes, if he needs an expert, he can hire one. For instance, if you all want to look into legislation, look into properly funding your GBI. The GBI does not have enough scientific experts. This is not a criticism of the GBI. The scientists that are there are excellent. I want that to be noted that I said that. The scientists that are there are excellent, but they do not have enough experts. So in year one, when I become the DA, they tell me, and I have an email that proves it, we can't test all your ballistics evidence. We don't have enough. So I have to go into my budget, more than $100,000, I can tell you that. I think it's been about that annually, and hire private scientists to do that ballistics work. Now, I got the names of those scientists from the GBI, but also my deputy, Mr. Watkins, over civil rights, if he needs an expert, he knows that he can get one. If my ED over major crimes needs an expert, they can get one. My domestic violence expert, if they need a domestic violence expert, they can get one. And so it all comes out of this professional services budget that I both pay attorneys that come in and work as special prosecutors, and that I pay professional witnesses that we have to hire to do our work.
So Mr. Watkins was in charge by title, or was it more so by function that he was in charge of the unit?
I don't understand your question.
Did he have a title of director of the anti-corruption unit, or was he just a person that everyone knew would make the calls within the unit?
He was the deputy of the civil rights unit.
Okay.
He remains the deputy of the civil rights unit. At some point, the civil rights unit became civil rights and anti-corruption.
Do you use those terms interchangeably now?
I do not use them interchangeably. I have one deputy over anti-corruption and one deputy over civil rights.
Who's the current deputy over anti-corruption?
Tanya Boykin.
Who is the first one?
Sonia Allen. She is now the district attorney of Cobb County. She had a great DA from Fulton endorse her, and she won.
What was Mr. Wade's role in the anti-corruption unit?
He didn't have a role in the anti-corruption unit.
The election interference case, what unit did it fall under?
I called it the election team.
Okay. When Mr. Wade was hired, was he hired solely to focus on the selection, to work on the selection team, or did he do other work within your office?
I don't remember. I think there were times where I'd bring in some of my senior personnel and ask them, you know, what's your thought on this case or these facts? I always involve wise counsel. I'm sure he was in some of those meetings.
Would you classify Mr. Wade as senior personnel as being part of your team?
Would I classify him as senior? So he was a special prosecutor. He never worked for me as an employee. What I would call him is a seasoned lawyer, 25 years, first African-American lawyer to ever serve Cobb County as a municipal court judge. What I would call him is a lawyer with a distinguished resume.
Okay. When did you begin to consider whether to bring charges in response to the 2020 presidential election in Georgia?
Don't answer that. That's a deliberative privilege. Don't answer. I'm structured not to.
Is it true that part of your transition team was involved in the process of interviewing people before you entered office to lead the investigation to the 2020 presidential election?
I'd like to answer that.
Go right ahead. You only take my advice sometimes. Anyway, go ahead.
That's really an ignorant question. And if you understand what the word ignorant means, it means the lack of knowledge. If you recall the facts, I was already district attorney when this all came to light. So it's factually impossible.
You were district attorney when what came to light?
When Raffensperger went on Good Morning America or whatever show he went on. I was already district attorney. So what you ask is a factual impossibility. Now, I know they've gotten black folks confused and said I was running for office saying I was going to prosecute the president of the United States, but that's what we call a lie.
Okay. I would like to
take your advice from here on out, okay?
Yeah. All right, we're up against a hard commercial break coming up in just a second, so we'll dive into that. Once we come back, we'll put the pause button on it, though, and let you know of anything important that does take place while we're gone. We'll be taking calls, dipping in and out of that for the next, I would say, like, hour and change. So if you're on hold right now, buckle up. Might be a little bit of a long one, but we'll start taking your calls, too. I want to make sure we get all of the important comments that are made by Fannie Willis under oath right now in Fulton County. We want to play that directly for you all, of course. So we'll bring it to you as it continues to develop. Obviously, this is a big one, folks, and the federal government is looking on going after her, too, as well. So what is being said right now in front of that Senate committee is going to be, it's going to be watched by the DOJ as well. It's going to be watched. We all know that the Civil Rights Division is going after Fannie Willis right now, and so all eyes on Willis. All right, we'll jump into that in just a little bit. We're up against commercial break. In the meantime, though, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Some of your favorite supplements are on sale, 60% off. It's the mega sale. Final days of Christmas, of course, over at thealexjonesstore.com. All of your favorites, 60% off for a limited time. All of our other vitamins as well, supplements as well, 40% off, too. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and stock up today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers on it, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. The American Journal, we're excited you're all jumping in with us. Of course, we've got our eyes on Georgia right now because Fannie Willis, the Fulton County District Attorney, is testifying in front of a Senate committee right now. And she was just asked a key question that we're going to play for you in a moment. Specifically, it could possibly incriminate her later down the line, and it's in regards to any private conversations that her and Nathan Wade possibly had before she was sworn in as Fulton County DA. Let's listen back in.
Prior to you being sworn in as district attorney, is it your testimony today that you did not have any conversation with Mr. Wade about investigating the 2020 election?
Do you want to answer?
It's a dumbass question.
I know it is, but go ahead and tell it because it occurred after
she took office, but go
I didn't know that he was going to commit a crime prior to me taking office. Like, factually, it's impossible.
Okay. Thank you. Would you agree with the statement? I shall skip that question. When did you decide to hire, outside of your office, a special assistant district attorney for this election case?
Oh, Lord. So when I became the district attorney of Fulton County, the office was in absolute chaos. I have to take you back. Can you hear me?
It's a little. I was going to try to turn you up if you don't mind leaning forward.
When I became the district attorney of Fulton County, the office was in absolute chaos. And I mean every level of chaos. On the ground, the carpet was molded and there were holes in it, and it was disgusting, a disgusting environment. There were boxes in offices, some to where you couldn't open the door. I remember walking through the office before. I told you I fired 50 or 60, I don't know exactly how many employees that I felt were unqualified to do this work. That doesn't mean they were bad people, but they were unqualified for the positions that they held. There were 18,000, write that down, 18,000 unindicted cases that went back 6 or 7 years that I was looking at. Not to mention another, 10,000 indicted cases in the system. Now, some that the judges had hid on judicial hold, but they were still there. So the office was in absolute chaos. And then I'm in the office on, I came in that Saturday, so that would have been day one. That was the day that I walked through the office. And I'm literally in the office that Monday or Tuesday. I can't recall now what day it is. And there's this phone call, and the Secretary of State saying, oh, the proper venue to investigate this might be Fulton County. And so my priority became, and this is important too, there were 200 and something murders that had been sitting for years, families that had been waiting for justice for years. And so when I come to be the district attorney, my first responsibility is just getting the office properly set up. In fact, one of the most important roles I held up that I tried to find was the head of the civil rights lawyer. So when Brian Watkins walked into my office and actually interviewed to come there, because he was not with the old administration, that was like a gift from God that I had a lawyer that had enough experience and would be talented enough and ethical enough and have the integrity to do this work. But my primary job was getting the entire office set up. So I immediately do things like set up a murder backlog project. I put Mike Carlson and Michael Sprinkle in charge of that. We're going to get every family's going to get an answer. They may not like the answer. The answer, maybe we can't prosecute this, but we're not going to sit with cases. We got to make decisions on these cases. And it took us years to get through that, but we did. And I'm happy to sit here and announce to you every one of those 18,000 cases, a decision got made on, to include those 101 police cases I talked about, as well as the 36 cases that came in January 1st, 2021 till December 31st of 2024. So while people tell these lies about the DA ain't been working, I want you to find a DA working as hard as me.
My question was, when did you decide to hire outside counsel, a special assistant district attorney, for the election interference case?
When it became obvious that this case would take so much investigation to learn the truth, and that I would need people that could focus on that. And although I had talent in the office that was being developed, each and every member of my staff had a priority. See, this is the most important case to you. Let me tell you what the most important case was to me. When I walked in the office, there had been two black children that had been killed. Sequoria Turner and Kennedy Maxwell. Those were the two most important cases to me as the DA. And I needed to make sure that those families got justice, but the cases didn't come with a bow on them. In fact, one of the cases was particularly not done properly. And so my priority became
making sure. All right, let me step in on this, because this one is a fascinating one, obviously. We're going to keep you up to date in regards to what's happening right now with the Fulton County DA. But I wanted to also let you guys know that it looks like the DHS secretary for here in the United States, Chrissy Noem, she's actually abroad right now, and she is in, drum roll please, Qatar. She's in Qatar right now. They just posted this on their X page. But it's not just Noam, and this is the part that's concerning, right? She's obviously there right now. She's meeting with officials. We don't know why or for what. But I can also tell you that the FBI director, Mr. Kash Patel, was just there last week as well. So very interesting that they're there. Again, I don't know why we're doing this. Now, there's been many people very closely associated with President Trump who have ties to Qatar. But again, I don't know why our officials, our DHS secretary, is over in Qatar right now. Of course, I'll be reaching out for comment to bring the latest on that when we do hear back as to what she's personally doing, because it is very, very concerning, of course. Also, I wanted to remind our audience, too, that Jack Smith is expected to be giving a closed, I guess, kind of testimony in front of senators, key senators, in regards to his prosecution of President Trump and others as well. Is closed door, so obviously we won't have any recordings of that. Hopefully they do release a transcript, but not likely, because there's obviously a lot of criminal elements to all of this. So that is expected to begin in just a little bit. But we're taking your calls, and we'll be going in and out of the Fulton County DA's testimony, I guess I should say, in front of the Georgia Senate. But right now, let's dive into some calls. First on up, let's get to Bulldog. Bulldog, welcome to the show.
Brianna, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Brianna, I think it was Monday. I believe you had Mr. Spencer on, was discussing a lot of what was going on down in Plano, Texas, with the Islamist invasion, I guess you would call it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Robert Spencer.
During that conversation you was having with him, you brought up a point about the guys that were out there protesting, I guess, was carrying a baby pig. Mm-hmm. And I guess your feeling on that was going to give sympathy to the people that are involved with all the movement down there for the Islam.
Yeah, well, they're not from, and just to add this key point, they're actually not from Plano. So I actually live in Plano. These people came to Plano to stir this up. And it's being used by CARE, which is obviously a group that's been designated as a terrorist organization in two different states right now, both Florida and Texas. But it's being used by CARE as a way to garner some empathy for their so-called Islamic Americans. And so they use these things to make it seem like they're the victims rather than the actual, according to many people who have accused them, I have to insert that, the perpetrators behind a lot of this, in my opinion.
So the gentleman that was carrying the baby pig, you believe that he was paid for by CARE? Is that what you're saying?
No, Yeah, I can't assert that type of an assumption because I don't know what his financial records look like, but I can tell you what it happens from the PR perspective because that's what I am experienced in. I could tell you when you get those images, when you're sitting there and you're disrespecting the Quran, they utilize that as a sympathy way because there's so many Americans that don't actually know much about Islam. They do see it as a religion. And so when you sit back and you kind of ramp people up and you make it seem like that they're the victims here, like they're being harassed, just based on, you know, bringing a baby pig around. By the way, that baby pig was absolutely horrified. One person who was there told me that that pig had actually urinated several times on the individual who was holding that pig up. And the pig was screaming because it was horrified to be there. So that's what I was hearing from one person who was present during that protest. But yeah, in my regards to that specifically, in my opinion, I do believe that it is utilized as a PR tactic being used by groups who want to come off as the victims. Now, I don't know if their intention was that, of course. They're claiming that they were there just because they wanted to protest Islam and those that we've brought in over these last few years. But I've been in Plano for several months now. I've gone to the hearing that took place. Christian conservatives represented completely, and it was why one judge, Chris Hill, did block them from building temporarily on their land. So that is the more productive way to go about this, not giving them footage of what it looks like us disrespecting what they believe is a religion and allowing them to use those images to garner sympathy from those that are just flat out ignorant is where my stance was on that.
I thank you for the clarification on that because I'm trying hard not to crash out with all that's going on.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was wanting to ask you, and I know I need to hurry because you have other people you need to talk to. But as far as everything that's going on with the Trump administration, do you honestly think that we're going to see any kind of prosecution or anybody actually put in chains?
Yeah. Well, okay, so I'd like to be optimistic and I'd like to say yes, but the reality of it is I don't see anything happening. I see that they're leaking information and it's coming straight from these agencies. You know, normally they say, oh, we can't tell you anything. It's an ongoing investigation, but there's certain pieces of details they're putting out there in the public sphere. And I don't like it. I don't know if it's a way that they think they're going to win midterms. If they tell you, oh, we're still working on it. You guys got to keep voting for us. We continue our efforts. I don't think it's a winning strategy at all. I think it's discouraging to the American people because we demand more. We demand that these people are held accountable. We're not asking for a political persecution. We're asking for those criminals who, you know, completely just destroyed our Constitution, teared it up, and decided that they were going to go after their political opponents, for those individuals to be held accountable. Those who put J6ers in prison for crimes that they did not commit. We asked for those people to be in prison. So yeah, it's so infuriating, Bulldog, that we're still at this point where they haven't done anything. I'll be optimistic and say that, okay, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're still working on this, but keep in mind, when the Biden regime wanted to go after J6ers, they had them up and arrested within a matter of days. They didn't need this well-drawn-out plot to go after these people. They were already cooking up their theories about going after President Trump and how they were going to lie and throw him in prison. So I'm not optimistic here, but I'll tell you, today is December 17, 2025. Not a single Democrat involved in the Obama-Biden regime has been arrested. So, Bulldog, that's where I stand on this. Thank you for calling, my friend. We appreciate your input, of course. And thanks for letting me clarify that in case it wasn't clear that day. I appreciate you doing that because I want to be clear. I have no insight to people's foreign ties. I know I see money getting thrown around all the time. I've been offered money. I reject everything, of course, and I get it in writing in case anyone ever tries to go after me for something stupid. But again, I do want to make sure that everyone knows that that was my opinion. I don't think it's a good thing when we go out there and we go after these people, we give them propaganda that they could spew as they are victims. Victimhood. I don't like that stuff. So thanks for calling in, Bulldog. All right, let's turn to Jay. And does that say Tokyo? I mean, I have bad vision, Jay. Where are you based out of, Jay?
Can you hear me? Is there someone there?
Hi, Jay.
Wow, you can hear me. Okay. Wow, this is interesting. So first off, I'm an Italian-American from New York like you, and I just have to say you're doing a great job, but are you really buying, like, canned tomato sauce or jarred tomato sauce?
Okay, Jay, listen here. Don't hate me, but if you actually go to Home Goods, do yourself a favor. Go to Home Goods and take a look at their...
We don't have that.
I know. Take a look at their section. It's like a... They have, like, pastas and stuff. Everything's actually from Italy. And I'm not lying to you because my sister just came back from Italy, and she knows I'm obsessed with truffle oil. And it's funny because the control room was also roasting me a bit for admitting that on air. But I actually got a little gift of olive oil for my sister, and it's truffle oil. But it's made in Italy. She brought it back here. It's the same stuff they have in Home Goods. So go to Home Goods. Look at the back. It's actually Lazy Day. The tomato sauce there was very good. Their pasta also, it's just flour and water, nothing else. None of those other additives that I feel like when I eat it here in the States, it makes me feel swollen. I don't feel good afterwards. Honestly, I could eat some Italian, Home Goods pasta and I still feel good at the end of the day. So be open-minded, I should say.
I'm very glad you said that. That's a great segue. So I was just joking about that thing because I called up and then like, what do you want to talk about? And then you just started talking about how you bought the jarred pasta sauce. And I was like, ah, but what I want to say is I think we can all agree, you, me, and everyone listening, that we're basically lied to on a day. We are lied to on a daily basis, right? We can go back to where do you want to start? Okay. So this whole thing in Bondi Beach, in Australia, it happened. And I want to say on June 16th, I went to Thailand. And that's when Israel was having a 12-day war, right as America was bombing Iran. And I got to Bangkok, and I wasn't sure where I was going to stay. And I used to live there. So I was like, bring me to the Arab Quarter. Most people don't even know there's an Arab Quarter in the center of Bangkok. It's this little enclave. And you don't even feel like you're in Asia. You feel like you're in some Middle Eastern country. Mm-hmm. And I got there like at 1 a.m. and I was out all night until early morning. And I met people from all over. And it's, you know, it always hits me when I meet someone and they're like, where are you from? They're like, I'm from Iraq. It hits me in a way. And the next guy's like, I'm from Syria. I'm from Yemen. I'm from Egypt. I'm from Pakistan. I'm from India. And a lot of these countries don't get along. But when you're going off about Islam, so I'm like you, I was raised Roman Catholic. But I've lived in a lot of places. I lived in the most populous Muslim country, but that island I lived on in Bali was Hindu. Spent a lot of time in Malaysia, Thailand, and now in Japan. And the thing is, people are people. We're all the same. They want these stratifications. They want to, like, separate everyone. But I told my wife this last night. I said, I've met so many people. I've never had a Muslim people. I've never met a Muslim person that was like an asshole. Sorry, maybe you're going to cut me off after that. But Bondi Beach was just like, you know, a good day in Gaza during the ceasefire. And yeah, I guess that's it. We can talk food next time. Are you even still listening? I don't know.
Hi, Jay. Yes, I'm still in. So, no, you know, Bondi Beach, I have to say my heart and sympathy goes out to the families. Anyone who's just sitting there trying to enjoy a holiday season with their, or the first day of Hanukkah, regardless of whatever religion you fall on or believe in, I should say, I do believe that my empathy should always be with the victims. I mean, they were doing nothing wrong, just laying out on the beach. And they have no, as far as we know, they have no alliance with the Israeli government. So I wouldn't even try to associate the both of those. I think that's not fair to do just that. You know, when you're sitting on a beach, you're just trying to enjoy the holiday with your loved ones. It doesn't warrant just because, you know, like, let's just say some Iraqis decided to shoot Americans who were laying out on the beach just because of the Iraqi war that we got involved in, obviously, and that we started, that wouldn't validate the deaths of Americans. So I kind of disagree with that stance, but I understand your stance as to individuals from all over the world who do come together and how, yeah, I mean, I've met Muslims, obviously. I do have Muslim friends, but the reality of it is, if I were to give you four poisonous apples, if I would give you one poisonous apple, four apples altogether, and tell you to figure out which one's poisonous, would you actually take the chance and start eating and seeing which one is fatal? I mean, I wouldn't. And so I'm okay with them, and I wish them well, prospering in their countries. But here in the United States, I would not allow them to come in if they come from countries with terrorism and other things obviously going on in their own country. And, you know, a lot of these people don't speak out on these issues. You know, when we sat back and watched, and again, this was an American, a homegrown terrorist, what happened on New Year's Day this year when we saw that Islamic terrorist attack it carried out, where he used his vehicle as a weapon and killed those innocent Americans who were just trying to enjoy the holiday. The mosque that he belonged to didn't condemn his behavior and said, told the other followers to not speak to the FBI. And so I have a big problem with their lack of being able to speak out. And also, when you crack open the Quran, you see what's in it. Yes, not all of them believe the violence that's encouraged in the Quran, over 100 verses that do just that. But if they're unwilling to condemn it, I have a major, major issue with that. And I just think that, you know, why do we bring people into our country if they're unwilling to condemn violence, if they're unwilling to do just that? We live in a great country. We don't owe anyone anything. We don't have to bring people into our country. We could sit here and enjoy the fruits of our ancestors' labor when they sat here and they protected us. I mean, I'm okay with just saying that. I wish them nothing but the best in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Iran, or wherever they come from. But we don't have to welcome them into our country and let them in just to make us feel better and warm and fuzzy on the inside, Jay. So thank you for calling in. I want to keep getting down the list of callers, of course, because we're limited on time today. So, Jay, thanks for calling into the show. I appreciate it. Let's turn to Benny in Tennessee. Benny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Deanna. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've got a couple of things I want to go over. Number one, with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I really, mm-hmm. really wish that Trump would kind of go the same way he went with Elon and work it out with her, because she's a patriot. She's MAGA. She's a patriot. She was so big on his success in getting in the office this time, and I just think he made a mistake. I think that he wasn't paying attention to what she was doing, and people were in his ear, and they just screwed up the way he was seeing it, and that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. Number two, I think that this is a statement. I think Bondi and Patel and Blanche, they just got to go. They turned a 100-yard dash into a 400-yard hurdle race, and we don't need the hurdles, so they got to go.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone, Benny.
My question is for Dan Bongino. He was such a strong, opinionated, powerful podcaster, and now he looks like a pit bull who just realized that his nuts were clipped and he can't lick him anymore. I'd like for the podcaster to stand in front of the mirror and interview the deputy director. And that would be the most interesting interview to see Dan Bongino, the real Dan Bongino, go after the fake one that's in the FBI.
Yeah.
And then my final statement, and this is a suggestion, the MAGA has taken such a shot in the nose over all the promises that were promises kept, turned into promises made, promises blocked, and now they're promises made, promises forgotten. And we just need a big victory. And my suggestion for the big victory is go after one that's going to get everybody behind him again, and that's get Fauci and put his ass in jail. It's a crime against humanity, so he's got no protection from his pardon. And that would be such a big victory that would really get the base fired up again, I think. And then he needs to kind of take that Elon Musk thing where he gets his people to send him a text once a week about what they did for the country this week, and just kind of go for it. Just put his nose in on at least one victory a month. You know, get us some victories, some big ones, and get the base behind us before the midterms.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Fauci stuff is definitely something that would be an easy victory if they were authentic about it. And they've already received the criminal referral. I believe it was Senator Rand Paul that did just that. And when it comes to MTG and Trump, yeah, I'd like them to build buddy up and go back to being how they were previously. I think it's really hard, though, for the president to do just that because I'm not a fan of the interview she did yesterday on CNN, I think it was. These left-wing media outlets are going to try to create a wedge between the two, and they're going to continue to go at that because they like the fact that we are so divided. Because like you just said, Benny, we are stronger together. MTG, President Trump, are stronger together. And the more interviews she does with these mainstream outlets, the more they're going to create friction and try to poke to see if President Trump bites. And I think that's what happened yesterday as well on CNN. So I would like for it all to kind of just stop. That would be ideal. And, you know, you mentioned Dan Bongino also in there as well. Dan Bongino, I think he's working obviously hard, but I think when you realize how deep all of this goes, I don't think he has a fight in any of this anymore. These reports, although I think the FBI has denied these reports, it's the second time we've heard these leaks that he's looking to resign. And he makes personal phone calls to a lot of his old buddies. So I have a feeling there's something there. More than what he's kind of alluding to. So we will obviously keep our eye on that, of course. And Benny, I appreciate you calling into the show. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. It might be a little bit of a long hold time, but we're going to be taking your calls again in the third hour of the show. I do have a guest coming up, and we'll get to that first in the next hour, of course. AJ Kern, she's been doing a lot of digging into Ilhan Omar, and she's uncovered something that she believes should be a top priority right now. She believes that she caught Ilhan Omar lying about her birth year. That's important given the fact that there is an ongoing immigration investigation into Omar. We'll bring you the very latest on that front in just a bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to theoxygenstore.com. We have 60% off your favorite supplements going on right now. Methylene Blue, Sea Moss Gummies, and Shilajit Gummies as well. 60% off. For a very limited time, head on over to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now. Also 40% off other supplements as well over TheAlexJonesStore.com. More on the way.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body to be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Third hour of the show will be kicked off in just a few minutes. We got a lot going on. We're keeping our eye right now in Georgia because the Fulton County District Attorney, well, she is right now testifying in front of a Senate committee in Georgia. Specifically, we're talking about Fannie Willis. Many of you guys know she has been called into question regarding her relationship with Nathan Wade. There's a lot of individuals who have accused the two of alleged corruption, and we're keeping our eye on that because the Senate is grilling her right now on just that. If something gets a little heated, we'll bring it straight to you, of course. We're also taking your calls as well. We've got a list of callers calling into the show. We'll make our way through that list as well in the third hour of the program. And we'll also be discussing some new uncoverings that have just recently taken place. A.J. Kern has been doing some digging into Ilhan Omar. She's a former congressional candidate, and she found something that could actually be massive in regards to Ilhan Omar. She believes that it's quite possible that Ilhan Omar maybe had misrepresented the year she was born in. And that's very important to the immigration side of all of this. As many of you guys know, she's currently under investigation. Now, I reached out to Immigration Services to see where they're at on all of that because we haven't really heard much since June. And unfortunately, Immigration Services is not getting back to me on that front. But we've got a lot to dig into there. So you're going to want to stay put for that interview. Again, we're taking your calls as well. And we're also going to be talking about a lot of other key things as well. As many of you guys know, I've talked about this. When it comes to U.S. aid, President Trump made sure it was a top priority to cut back on all of that funding because his administration believed that it was being wrongfully used. And it was very obvious that that was the case. And DOGE really did a great job at highlighting that. But there's a new article in the Associated Press that is a tragedy in itself. But they're trying to blame President Trump for Muslim girls and women being forced into marriages and being sexually assaulted. Now, when you read this article, which I've done, it is obviously very emotional and it's driven mainly off emotion. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to leave out the big issue here. And they're trying to say that because of President Trump now, these young girls are being forced into marriages. And being sexually assaulted and abused because President Trump cut off U.S. aid to Bangladesh. Now, obviously, that's a heck of a turn. Now, the entire article, they do not talk about the Islam angle to all of this, that in fact, these are Islamic men doing just that. Instead, they're focused on going after President Trump and blaming him for sexual assault in Bangladesh because he pulled back this funding. Now, this has been an ongoing attack, as many of you guys know. Even those in Africa have been trying to attack President Trump. We're pulling back U.S. aid again, and they're trying to say that that is the reason why HIV cases are on the rise in Africa. So there's this whole empathetic pull that they're trying to do right now in regards to U.S. aid and the Trump administration's pulling back of all of that funding. As many of you guys know, there are plenty of reports that outline that money was being wrongfully used. And to be honest with you, why is your taxpayer money going to foreign countries? Why can't their governments go out there and create educational materials to prevent child rape, throw these people in prison? Why can't their governments tell people more about why you shouldn't have unprotected sex, which leads to HIV cases surging? It's not the job of America to do these things. I'll get into that at great length, though, in just a little bit. We're going to dive into this article because, again, it's devastating when you read the details to all of this. And my heart is with all of these women, these girls. Most of them are underage. But again, the insanity behind all of this to somehow flip this and point to President Trump as if he did this is completely malpractice, journalism malpractice. And they leave out the Islam angle to all of this. They mentioned Muslim once in the entire article. And this is a very lengthy article, probably 10 plus pages. And again, they leave out the most important part, the religion angle to this, what they deem as the religion, what's causing all of this. Their Quran, which justifies having sex with girls, which is also known as rape, with girls after they get their period. I mean, this whole article is just completely insane. And of course, it's President Trump's fault. So we're going to go into detail about all of that in just a bit. Quick break here. We'll see you on the flip side. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss.
Challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you, so now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, canceling time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the third hour of the American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us today. A lot to discuss. We just got a little bit of breaking news in for, we call them rhinos over here. Republicans have apparently, they've sided with Democrats. They've just signed a petition in regards to Mike Johnson's efforts to prevent, obviously, the subsidies that have been going on for Obamacare. So they are now siding with Democrats in this petition, which will force a House vote on extending for 3 years an enhancement, the pandemic-era subsidy that they're claiming, and many of you guys know this doesn't actually do what they say, but this is what the mainstream media is saying, that it lowers health insurance costs for millions of Americans. And we all know, because we've all witnessed it, Obamacare didn't do that. Sent millions and billions of dollars of your taxpayer money over to the health insurance companies, and you didn't really see the benefits of any of that. You didn't see the benefits of that. So we're keeping our eye on things just like that. Mike Lawler is one of the individuals, a part of that. He is the congressman from New York. He's been very fired up going against Speaker Johnson lately. He's not making many friends these days. But folks, I want to bring you a story that we've been talking about on this show in regards to Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar, as many of you guys know, the congresswoman has, well, she's been called into question several times. Many believe that she committed immigration fraud in order to both get herself and her brother into this country. And earlier this year, we heard the border czar himself, Mr. Tom Homan, allude to an investigation that's underway. Take a listen to clip 15.
Now that Republicans are back in control, can we expect to see some type of immigration investigation into Congresswoman Ilhan Omar? There was a report, this was a story I broke, and it's since been confirmed that she married her brother and committed immigration fraud. Can you speak to whether or not there's any investigations into Congresswoman Omar's immigration fraud via the marriage to her brother? And whether or not her citizenship could potentially be revoked if you guys also find that she did, in fact, commit immigration fraud and student loan fraud?
I can't discuss any investigation.
Interesting. Well, I did ask U.S. Immigration Services for an update on that immigration investigation. Unfortunately, though, we do not have an update for you as of yet. But this is definitely something that we are circling back on. I will be circling back on because, again, that statement was made back in June. So we're hoping that this is a top priority for the administration because, again, this should be a top priority for them. But in regards to Ilhan Omar and her family, I know a lot of people are starting to do the digging and they're realizing who her father was And they're putting a lot of critical pieces of information out there. One of those individuals is A.J. Kern, and she's a former congressional candidate. And she recently uncovered, according to her, potential evidence that Ilhan Omar's birth year is inaccurate, the one that was put in those critical pieces of documents that was used to gain access into this country. Joining me now is A.J. to break down her findings so far. A.J., I want to thank you for being here. You know, I was scrolling through my X feed, and I saw that you've been doing some digging in regards to Ilhan Omar. You've been doing this for quite some time, and you obviously are very familiar with politics as somebody who formerly has run for Congress previously. But you found something that was kind of a red flag for you, and I want you to walk us through it. But you believe that Ilhan Omar may have misrepresented her birth year. Is that correct?
That's correct. First, you need to understand derivation of citizenship, and it requires a couple of things. Her father had to have naturalized, and she had to be a minor when he naturalized. March 8th of 1995, her family came into the country. Her father had a 5-year waiting period. So March 8th of 2000, her father became eligible to apply for naturalization. But the problem with that is that her birth year of 1981, which she had on her Minnesota legislative page, her U.S. congressional page, Wikipedia, that would have made her 18 in 1999. And so in the year 2000, when her father was eligible, she was already 18. So the thing is that I realized this, and using an age calculator, I confirmed it. And I made a video that I posted on social media about her actually being 18 when her father became eligible to apply for naturalization. And a couple of days later, she contacted the Minnesota State Legislative Library to change her birth year to 1982. And I have the email. It's on my website. And she had let them know that she was going to correct her birth year on Wikipedia and her U.S. congressional page. And I find that this really blows a hole in her story, because I don't know about you, but I've never known anyone to change their birth year, especially once they've gone into Congress. The next thing I did is I requested her father's naturalization records. And because you cannot request naturalization records on Ilhan Omar because she's still living, but you may request records on a refugee who is deceased. And so I did submit a request to the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services in 2022. And I received a letter a year later on June 20th, 2023, that stated that they had done a thorough search of their database and used variations of his name, and he was not in the database. And they informed me that I could have the Department of Homeland Security also search their database, which I did. And then in September of 2023, I received a certificate of non-existence of record on her father, that they searched their database and he's not in the database. So she has two problems. One is her father doesn't seem to have ever naturalized. And two, with her original birth year, which is still in places that she couldn't have changed retroactively, is still 1981. And there's enough there that Congress should do their job, which is initiate a congressional inquiry. That would be what it takes to remove her and because no one has ever verified her citizenship, not the Minnesota Secretary of State, not the Federal Election Commission, and not Congress. And it's Congress's job, Article 1, Section 5, to verify the elections and that everyone is legitimately seated.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I know you did your work and you went about trying to verify who her citizenship, or even if they ask that question, if they try to do it on their own. We've got clip 16. Let's play that.
So how do you verify their citizenship if they're foreign-born?
So that's outside of our realm. There's no authorization in the statutes for us to follow, you know, double-check on people, verify their status and things like that. They sign the affidavit. That's the certification statement, and that's just the way it is right now. There is no law that requires us. And, in fact, because there is no law telling us to do that, we would be violating the laws by checking up on people. We don't verify everybody is a citizen. We don't verify everybody is a citizen. We don't verify everybody is a citizen.
Okay, so that's a big one, AJ, and you did a great job at detailing that with Liz Collins. For our audience, though, I kind of want you to walk through and give us some context here. You were trying to verify if she was a citizen, and specifically, where were you? What office was this in?
In 2019, I had gone to the Minnesota Secretary of State's office, hoping to find out if they had verified Ilhan Omar's citizenship. And they had not. And I think a lot of people in Minnesota understand that the immigrant, the refugee, non-citizens who are foreign-born may go to a Secretary of State's office and obtain a driver's license. And when they do that, they also register to vote. So knowing that, I suspect that Ilhan Omar got her foot in the door that way, that she went, got her driver's license and registered to vote. And so when she went to run for state office, the state legislature, her citizenship was not verified. And then when she ran for federal office and filed, they said, well, she signed the affidavit and that's it. And there's no verification. So I believe there's actually a huge issue throughout this country of foreign-born individuals registering to vote, and the secretaries of state are not verifying their citizenship. And so even if we had voter ID, they'll be able to obtain that as well. No one is checking citizenship, and no one has verified Ilhan Omar's citizenship. Again, not the Secretary of State, not the Federal Election Commission, and not Congress. And it would take one member of Congress, it's pretty simple, to initiate a congressional inquiry, but none of them will do it. And so as far as I'm concerned, until someone can obtain the official records, not from her, because as we know, documents can be doctored, and we need the official documents to ensure that we do not have a Somali nationalist sitting in Congress and fraudulently raising millions of dollars.
Yeah, well, I would say that's deeply concerning, and she has already and publicly pledged her alliance to Somalia rather than the United States, constantly speaking at events and saying just that she's here to represent Somalia. So that would be a massive, massive issue. Now, AJ, I'm going to follow up on all of this and see what's going on here. Reach out to Immigration Services as well, because I think we need to 1,000% verify whether or not she is a U.S. citizen or not. That should be the top priority. I think it's crazy that, as you saw in the video, that it's not their job. They actually could possibly get in trouble for trying to verify this information. That should be the standard for us all across the country, regardless of who the politician is. Everyone should be verified as a U.S. citizen prior to being able to be sworn into office. So I think you've uncovered a lot. And there's a lot more to dig into. AJ Kern, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing. Again, to our audience, you're doing a great job on your X page as well, exposing all of this. AJ Kern 8, that's the number 8. Give her a follow on X as you continue to learn more. We'll keep following your very latest. AJ, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, folks, we're keeping our eye on just that. And you know I'm going to follow up. I'm going to shoot off a couple of emails to get comments because I think it's really, really important. But I wanted to get to what I broke to you guys in the meantime. We were just recently talking about specifically Jack Smith, as many of you guys know, he is right now being forced to have these closed-door deposition. It's going on right now, I should say, over at the House. Apparently, he is being asked several questions. Jack Smith denies playing a according to Fox News. Any type of political role in going after President Trump, that's what he just apparently said while in that hearing. As many of you guys know, like we've reported earlier, Smith is speaking right now to the House Judiciary Committee, members on Capitol Hill right now, and it's all related to his 2020 election and the J6 investigation that he was leading. Now, again, he says that the decision to bring charges against President Donald Trump were mine. And then he's going on to saying, but the basis that those charges were somehow related to President Trump and his actions, as alleged in the indictment returned by the grand jury in two different districts. So he's trying to say it's not politically motivated, but instead there was some type of justification behind all of this. We will see, of course, as it continues to develop. Now, we've also got our eye right now on Fannie Willis, who is speaking in front of the Georgia State Senate right now. It's the committee specifically. They are looking into her, Nathan Wade, obviously, and it's been going back and forth, and they just returned from a break. So we will go back to that when it starts to get a little spicy, as it was earlier in the show. We'll bring that straight to you when it does. Let's go back to taking some calls, though. If you want to call and join the show, maybe you got something you want to add to the show, give us a call now, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls until we might as well just go to the end of the show, so we'll bounce back and forth from everything that's going on, the current events, the calls. Let's kick things off though with Bart in Georgia. Bart, welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. This Brown University, something's rotten in Denmark. First of all, this Oscar Perez, I just been digging into him while I'm on hold. He's a DEI kind of person, and he was complaining that there's too many white people on the force and da-da-da-da, and then we need to, you know, he's one of these people. And they're refusing to answer questions. They didn't want to show any pictures. They said, go to this website. I just want to say, if your parents weren't born in this country and you weren't born in this country, you should not be allowed in law enforcement. That's all I'm saying. This guy's a schmuck. Thank you for taking my call.
You know, Bart, the word schmuck is a common word being used and thrown around my parents, my dad specifically. So I just got like a little throwback from my childhood with that one. Bart, thanks for calling. Yeah, no, I'm not okay with the fact that they are not being more aggressive in giving us information. They're claiming that they're doing everything possible, right? We hear this constantly, that they're trying to be as transparent as possible, that they want to catch the perp. Look how embarrassing this was. This was so embarrassing. This is what the FBI is doing days after the shooting. They're just going around, kicking some snow around, trying to uncover, I don't know why. I mean, you could sit there and say what casings, possibly. I mean, it's long overdue, and the shooting took place in the classroom, from my understanding. So why not get a rake? Why are you using your feet? Just looks like a bad PR stunt. Of course, Fox News front and center on that one. You know that they're going to be there for that. So yeah, Bart, something stinks over at Brown University, and I think you're on to something. I truly, truly do. Folks, we're also keeping our eye on the Fannie Willis case as well right now. I should say her testimony. Looks like it might be getting heated right now. If we could dive into that, that would be greatly appreciated. Let's take a listen.
Ma'am, have you seen this letter before?
It's got my signature on it.
Do you have seen this letter before?
Yes, that's how it got signed.
You sent this letter on December 17th, 2021, requesting access to documents from the January 6th committee, Chairman Mr. Representative Thompson. Is that correct?
I did.
Okay. Did you or anyone in your office receive help in your investigation from the January 6th commission?
Do you want me?
What do you mean by help?
Did they send you documents?
Well, they're public documents now.
Did they send you any documents that were not public? That were not public at the time?
None that I can recall.
In the letter you offer to meet them in person, did they take you up on the offer to meet in person?
I've never met Thompson.
Have you ever met anyone that was doing work with the January 6th Commission?
Not to my knowledge. I may have met them and not known they were doing that work.
Mr. Wade traveled to D.C. with members of your staff. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And Mr. Wade billed for conference calls with the January 6th committee. Is that correct?
I haven't looked at the bills.
What difference does that make?
on the left of side of the screen here, and I apologize, the camera's in your way. There's a screen over here.
You'll have to remember the criminals that I indicted, they had committed crimes all over the country. And so as a result, as a prosecutor, if you know that a criminal has done crimes in this state and other states, it would almost not be due diligence to try to get information from them. Here goes some more legislation you can take up. There is a process called TUI with the federal government where state prosecutors try to get information from federal prosecutors. They are not very helpful.
On this bill, on the left-hand side, the first red highlight.
I haven't seen the bill, so you remember?
That's why I'm showing it to you, Madam DA. It says team meeting conference with January 6th, research legal issues to prep inter, ends with V. He testified, and the testimony is on the right side of the screen, that meant interview. And then the second one is travel out of state, interview and research, which was from April 27th until April 29th. Are you aware of a trip that Mr. Wade took out of state that your office paid for in April of 2022?
Yes.
What was the purpose of the trip?
I don't recall.
Okay.
I'm sure to get information on some of the criminals I ended up indicting.
This slide here shows essentially a reimbursement request on the right-hand side for Mr. Wade at the Hyatt Place Hotel. And on the left-hand side, this is an invoice for the Hyatt Place Hotel during the time period I referenced earlier for Mr. Michael Hill. Do you know who Michael Hill is?
He was an assistant chief when he left my office. He's an investigator, though, a sworn law enforcement officer.
And he was on your staff during April of 2022? You said when he left your office. When did he leave the office?
I don't remember. But yes. Yes to the first question. He was on my staff at that time. I don't remember to the second question of when did he leave. Not long ago, he got a higher title at another office.
Do you know who else from your office attended this trip?
I can't recall. You can refresh my recollection if you like.
This is an invoice for the same hotel on the same dates from Mr. Francis, I assume it's Mr. Wakeford. Is that someone that worked in your staff?
An amazing attorney.
What was his role?
He's an attorney.
What did he do within your, what work did he do within your department, your team?
He does all types of work, but he is what I would consider to be an appellate lawyer.
Did he do work on the elections interference case?
Absolutely.
What work did he do on the election interference case?
He did a lot of excellent writing.
This slide here is for Mr. John Wooten, same hotel, same dates, same trip to D.C. Do you know John Wooten?
He works for me.
Currently?
Yes.
What was his role in April of 2022?
A lawyer, works for my office, does a lot of white-collar crime for me.
Did work on the election interference case?
Yep.
Okay. So is it safe to assume from both the testimony I had on the screen, your letter, and Mr. Wade's invoices that referenced January 6th, is it safe to assume that Mr. Wade and other members of your staff went to D.C. in furtherance of your investigation of the 2020 election?
I'm not going to make assumptions under oath.
You are unaware of whether or not members of your staff, four of them that we have here so far, or three and one independent contractor, you're unaware as to whether or not the purpose of their D.C. trip was to meet with the January 6th committee or members of the January 6th committee or lawyers working for the J6 committee?
I know that they went to D.C., and I know it was in reference to this investigation. I do not recall who they spoke with, but you all have tried to make this some nefarious thing that lawyers would try to investigate and find out information about people who came to Georgia and committed crimes. And instead of being honorable in trying to defend those people that you take an oath to serve, we're here with this foolishness.
All right, Fannie Willis obviously proving to the world that she is a major, we'll just go with wench. That's proper term to use for this moment. What a troll she is. We're going to get back to this also in a couple of minutes, too. We're keeping our eye on this because she's being grilled about the finances. This is very important because, again, they were asking taxpayers to reimburse them for travel. And obviously, she was not very transparent in regards to her relationship with Nathan Wade. Now, Nathan Wade is someone who obviously was underqualified for this position in the first place, but she was dating, or he was dating Fannie Willis, so one must assume that there's a quick way to getting a promotion when you do just that, at the expense of taxpayers, of course. All right, don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss, taking your calls still as well. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off some of our top selling supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there now for the final days of Christmas.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operation. It's a true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it in the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com, nitric boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me. Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us. Third hour, final lap of the show. A lot more to discuss in just a bit. We just want to bring you a quick little update in regards to that Obamacare story we brought to you a couple of minutes ago. The U.S. House Republicans have blocked a move for a quick vote on health subsidy extension. As many of you guys know, that was what they were trying to do. Those four rogue Republicans were trying their very best to side with Dems on a petition. Looks like they have blocked it. The block quick consideration of the Democratic bill to extend the Affordable Care Act. Many of you guys know we have been subsidizing it. They lie to you and tell you, of course, that it makes health care more affordable for Americans. And if you look at all the stats, that's a lie. That's a lie. It's expected to expire on December 31st. We're keeping our eye on that, of course. And a lot more. A lot more. I don't know if you guys have been following this, but I have. USAID, when President Trump decided to cut USAID, a lot of people were fired up over it. A lot of corrupt people were fired up over it. But specifically now, those in the media who are actually funneling that money to, of course, themselves, are pushing back on the president for doing just that, crunching down on the fraud and cutting USAID. So they've done everything possible to blame President Trump for the atrocities being carried out throughout the world. Specifically right now, the Associated Press is drumming up the narrative that President Trump somehow, some way, is responsible for children being raped in Bangladesh. Their latest empathetic article, which obviously your heart bleeds for these girls, make no mistake. But they want you to believe that girls being sexually abused in Bangladesh is because of President Donald Trump. It's like mind jujitsu. And you just don't know where to go because at this point, they're just playing games with your head. It's a total, total spin. And the linkage, it's just meant to pull at your heartstrings, right? It opens up this article in moments when she's alone, when there is a break in the beatings from her husband. The girl cries for the school that was once her place of peace in a world that has otherwise offered her none. Why is that the case? Well, they don't tell you why that's the case. Instead, and I searched, I read this article, it tells you all of these heartbreaking, empathetic stories to girls being sexually abused by who? Well, they don't tell you. Muslim men. They continuously go out, and within the first couple of paragraphs, go right after President Trump. The sudden and severe foreign aid cuts imposed this year by President Donald Trump. Crippled child protection programs beyond unwanted marriages. Obviously, they're going into detail, talking about manual labor, girls as young as 12 being forced into prostitution, which is all awful, 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 awful. But they fail to say that these are Muslim men who are doing this to their girls. Now, they want you to think it's President Trump. President Trump is to blame here. It is completely absurd, insane. Of course, they're going through the statistics of child marriages and how they've risen. For those under the age of 18, they've risen 21%. Verified child labor has apparently risen 17% since USAID got cut to Bangladesh. So because of your money no longer being funneled to these foreign countries, they want you to think it's our fault why children are being raped. Now, obviously, children being raped is something that we strongly are against. And I believe all of these men should be put to death because they're animals. But you're sitting here trying to make a connection that this is somehow President Trump's fault. What do you think? We're as stupid as you are? The article is extensive. It goes into detail about all these personal stories, which are absolutely heartbreaking, that these young girls are living in hell. But I mean, what more are you trying to sell us on? Again, heartbreaking story after heartbreaking story. A 17-year-old whose dream of becoming a doctor or dashed when she was married off after her school shut down. And that's somehow President Trump's fault? What are you talking about? The Associated Press obviously is a propagandist operation. We all know that. They've been a protector of Hamas too, by the way. That's the reason why you probably don't even see the fact that these men are Muslim throughout the entire article, practically. There's one time where it's mentioned, and it doesn't even mention it as the men. So what does this mean here? Well, what this means here is that they are trying their very best to demonize President Trump and blame him for the fact that Muslim men are raping children in Bangladesh. And they've been doing this extensively. There's all these articles that were populating pretty quickly as soon as that funding got cut. And specifically, they were going after President Trump for men in Africa, homosexual men in Africa, getting AIDS, getting HIV. There was one article that was drafted up, I believe it was like BBC or some other garbage publication, going after President Trump and saying, and there was a personal story about a man and how he is now HIV positive just weeks after the funding got cut because his preventatives were cut off. How is it our taxpayer money is somehow, some way, the reason why men in Africa, homosexual men in Africa, are suddenly getting AIDS, getting HIV? Oh, that's our fault? Maybe, you know, cut back a little bit on the unprotected homosexual sex. I know, sounds like the easy answer. The easier answer is just blaming the Americans for not continuing to fund their barbaric behavior. See, there's no responsibility being thrown on the perpetrators of all of these things, the ones who are actually committing these heinous crimes against children. Instead, they want you to think that it's our fault because we are no longer funding their barbaric behavior. Now, how about you take a step into how normal people function? Maybe increase your standards for the third world. And instead of allowing them to rape children and pretend like it's the President of the United States' fault, how about you take responsibility for the fact that you have barbaric men in Bangladesh who think it's acceptable to rape children? So that's the type of nonsense the AP is serving these days. And they keep reposting it too. I just saw again within the last hour they actually reposted it. And it's refreshing to see the comments of everyone saying, how is this President Trump's fault? There's no reason to blame the President of the United States. And speaking about the President, let's like have a little bit of a lighter note for a second. Melania Trump just released her new teaser for her film that's coming out very, very soon. She just released it on Fox, and Clip 17 will play that for you right now.
Here we go again.
You can come in. Come on in. My proudest legacy will be that of peacemaker.
Peacemaker and defiant. Beautiful. Together, with like-minded leaders, we have a voice. Is it safe?
It is safe.
Everyone wants to know. So here it is. Hi, Mr. President. Congratulations.
Did you watch it?
I did not. Yeah, I will see it on the news.
As many of you guys know, I've got a little bit of an obsession with the First Lady. I think she is by far one of the most stunning First Ladies we've had in American history. And I think that she is she's just like a fashion trendsetter. I don't know how else you want to call it. She is elegant. She is beautiful. She is stunning. And she's very intelligent as well. I look forward to this film coming out. But if you're looking to celebrate the First Lady, we've got you covered right before the holidays, of course. As many of you guys know, I recently released a book celebrating the First Lady and all of my favorite looks that she has put forward thus far. It is available right now on Amazon. If you head on over to the Amazon store right now, just search my name, Brianna Morello. You could see my Melania Trump book. Pop on up, Elegance in the White House, Melania Trump. It is a great gift to give your mom, your sister, anyone who is a big fan of both Melania Trump and fashion. It is a photo book. So it's great for a coffee table setting, of course, and it is available and on sale. We just cut down the price a little bit over on Amazon right now. Get it for the holidays, of course. All right. So we're dipping in and out of the Fannie Willis saga that's going on right now. Let's see. She's getting a little aggressive. She's not a happy camper to be there. All right. So we're going to bring it to you when it gets a little interesting again. I wanted to turn, though, and start taking some calls again. Let's turn to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, thanks for staying on hold. What's on your mind?
You're welcome, and I totally agree with your description of Melania Trump, but we disagree strongly on fashion. Your book, when on the cover at first glance, I didn't have my glasses, and I thought it was Frank Sinatra or someone. That outfit was like a gangster from the 1920s or something. But you're right. She's so beautiful and elegant that she could pull it off. But I like all her fashions, but I didn't like that, you know, that pinstripe look. And what a bad soundbite, too, that you hear Trump's voice go, "Did you watch it?" And she says, "No, but I'll watch it." Like, that's not a good soundbite to promote yourself. But I want to say with Fannie, real quick, I would have jumped on her when she said that it was two black children were killed. That was my priority. And I would have said, "Oh, well, you prioritize race, like the black race. What if they were white? Would you have mentioned the race?" So you don't you know, I would have got her right on that, because that shows that she's biased. And you're right. And the guy that called, George from New York, to link to what you were just talking about with the sexual assault and AIDS, that those are Islamists, not regular Muslims, that are the majority that we usually know in America. So you're talking about, like, so-called radical, but really the true believers, the true followers, the Islamists. So that's the difference between them and the Muslims. And to say, like, it's Trump's fault that people are getting sexually assaulted, like, well, why don't you tell them, teach them not to do that, that it's wrong, and then imprison them? Like, why is that any of it Trump's or our business, and it takes our money? And just want to say, but with Alex Jones, I was impressed in the beginning, the Marjorie Taylor Greene interview, but then I was appalled, and it was like a fake news interview. And I wrote down where she lied. She said Trump said that the Epstein thing, it's not a hoax, and child rape. No, everyone knows what he means when he said it was a hoax. It's a hoax that they're trying to implicate him in it. And that's a Democrat hoax, just like Russia, Russia, Russia. And also she said Trump said affordability is a hoax. And that's somewhat of a hoax, too. The Democrats caused the inflation. They blocked the oil and natural gas. And now inflation's coming much down, gas price. So that's another Democrat. They caused it. And she said that you're in a cult if you don't reprimand Trump for the Rob Reiner comment. My last point is, well, that was wrong what he said about Rob Reiner. But you can't have it both ways with Trump. Like my dad, he was reminding me of Trump. He was loud and funny, and he said an anti-Semitic joke, which the neighbor who was Jewish was offended. So you can't be politically correct and then not, you know, at the same time be loud and funny and risky. Like Alex Jones, you can't have him say anything lewd or, you know, it doesn't work. My wife doesn't like Trump's mouth. She likes the policies, but you can't really have it both ways, even though it was wrong. And lastly, got to watch My Blue Heaven when the Italians are talking about marinara sauce. He goes, "I drove 40 miles to a place I heard had good marinara sauce." Mm-hmm. "Yeah, how was it? Please." Did you ever see that movie, My Blue Heaven? Watch it this weekend. You didn't?
No, I have not seen that movie.
Oh, you got to. It's with the Italians. It's hilarious. Steve Martin. It's rated PG, but he plays a witness protection program guy. It's so funny. Rick Moranis is the FBI guy.
Well, we'll definitely look into that. And I appreciate you, Andrew, calling into the show as always and staying on hold for us. So thank you for that, my friend. Yeah, that will definitely be added to my list. I want to turn to our next caller, Alex in North Virginia. Alex, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning, Alex. How are you?
I am doing good.
Good.
So here's the problem with the whole Islam movement right now. I was doing some digging, and it turns out that the problem that we have is freedom of religion. And freedom of religion was put into play when freedom of speech was ratified. So my problem now is, how long were they planning to take down this country using Islam if they made sure that they protected freedom of religion with freedom of speech? And again, the problem is the freedom of religion. This is supposed to be a Catholic country. It's supposed to be a Christian country. And meanwhile, we let in all of these different types of people serving the same religion. And it doesn't matter which religion you're talking about, because they're all wrong. Every single one of them are wrong. So we need to get back to the basics and get rid of freedom of religion. That is the weakness that we have. Secondly, why is Fannie Willis wearing all white? And why does she have, according to a friend of mine, Black Boule Society members sitting behind her? She's being incredibly disrespectful. Her and her lawyer are slouched, hanging to the side as if they're in their own office. It's completely tacky. Why is she wearing white, Brianna?
Yeah, well, as someone who is a fashion expert, I will tell you that white is not supposed to be worn after Labor Day. She knows that. I know that. And this is practically a hate crime. But, you know, Alex, I have to say, we were just joking in the control room. I try not to be cruel, but her posture is gross. Her body language is gross. As a woman, we all know, sit up straight, be respectful. Don't be slouching, laying back, kick back. Obviously, this woman just has no respect for anyone. She had to be dragged in front of the Georgia Senate committee hearing today. You know, don't actually go anywhere, Alex. Stay put, because I want to play a soundbite for you. Actually, just happened a second ago. Let's get to this clip, because Fannie Willis just went off for a second. Let's listen in.
Screen. These are...
I don't review those documents, so you're asking me to look at documents that I haven't for the first time. What I can tell you is that I allowed Mr. Wade to bill 160 hours a week, and then Mr. Wade would be the first one in the office making sure that my staff arrived. He corrected their behavior. They thought that 8:30 meant 8:30. He taught them that 8:30 means 7:45. He got there before them. He left after him. He taught them how to do this case, and he was a leader to that team and a public servant. And for that, him, like me, has been threatened thousands of times. You want something to investigate as a legislature? Investigate how many times they've called me the N-word. Why don't you investigate that? Why don't you investigate them writing on my house? Why don't you investigate the fact that my house has been swatted? If you want something to do with your time that makes sense, and you can use all this in your campaign ad, you attacked Fannie Willis. What have you done, sir? Nothing.
So I'm going to refer you to the screen. I know you said you don't approve.
I don't look at this. I've never seen
bills.
It. So I can't talk to you about documents I don't approve and don't review. Talk to you about it.
Who does approve the documents in your office when the invoices come in?
I thought we'd been through this.
I don't believe you said who reviews the invoices and approves the invoices in your
office. First of all, I have no firsthand knowledge of it.
You have no firsthand knowledge.
You want me to testify about something I don't have any firsthand knowledge of?
I'm asking.
Alex, every time we have this woman speaking a professional thing, whether it's a court hearing or now in front of the Senate, she's a complete just, you know, I'll say it. She's a bird. She just is inappropriate. She is ratchet. She doesn't tone it down. She can't speak properly to people. It's not about where you're coming from or anything like that. It's about how about speak appropriately? Because any of these senators are coming out of pocket, coming at your throat, trying to make you be or trying to encourage you to be disrespectful. They all have the same tone, and they are trying to just get information from her. And it's fair information, because she's really upset because this possibly could be used against her in criminal prosecution that might be heading her way. Your reaction to her total meltdown there?
Well, number one, she's incredibly racist. Mm-hmm. She's a DEI buffoon, number mm-hmm. two. Mm-hmm. And number three, I figured out why she's wearing white. She's going to take more of the money, and she's going skiing. I just figured it out. She's a dummy. She's not showing any respect to the system that we have set up. The guy is asking decent questions, and she's giving attitude in every single one, and nobody has corrected her. Not one person. Meanwhile, last week, when this guy said to Kristi Noem, an unfortunate accident, she got reprimanded immediately for letting him know you call that an unfortunate accident. He was quick to say, can you direct her to answer my question? But nobody could tell her anything? Fannie Willis? The goof? This is incredible.
Yeah, well, these are the people that are elected to office. You know, Fulton County is actually a beautiful, beautiful place in Georgia. I love going there. It was one of my favorite places to be. But man, oh man, do they have so many issues, not only with their prosecutor, but their jail itself is a mess. So much going on there. If she truly cared, she would correct herself. She would correct the prison, and she would be, you know, speak to people with some level of respect like we all try to do with one another. Alex, thanks for staying put and on hold and weighing in on that. We greatly appreciate your time as always. I thank you for calling in.
Shout out to Matt.
Yes, Matt. Matt's the best. Matt is the best. All right. Thank you, Alex. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Tony in Jersey. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome. What's going on?
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're doing great on the show.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to do a quick plug. I'm taking like a bunch of stuff, the CMOS, the blue, the red, you know, the green, the optimal. Yeah, that's really good stuff. It tastes great. And but I want to get to the colostrum that I tried. And I hate to bash it a little bit, but I mean, it works, but it's I think I got a bad one. It smelt a little bit like cheese. And I did it anyway. I drank it. And in the midst of doing that, I kept seeing this ad for something called Simply Colostrum. And I ordered it. And that's what I think Alex should get on there, because he said last week he was always looking for something better, something good, something better. And this has nothing. The Simply Colostrum has nothing but colostrum. That's it. That's the only ingredient. Like, this one has a marshmallow root. I don't know what that does. I think it has something to do with your gut. And but the taste and the smell, the smell is incredible. It's like a vanilla cream pie when you open it. It's like a yellowish color. And it's I think you all should look into it. Simply Colostrum, it's called. It's out of Utah. And I talked to the owner, and he said he tried almost 30 different brands of colostrum. So, you know, for like an individual like me to go trying all these things, it's like I'd be broke. But that's the one, Simply Colostrum. It's really, really good.
All right, I'll put in a good word with the boss, Tony. We'll have a chat with the boss. The boss is over at Bigley. Thank you for your input, and we appreciate your insight on that. I've got a bottle of colostrum over there in the corner. I'm going to have to go sniff it myself, but I think you're the first person I've heard this from. So, Tony Jersey, thank you for calling in, my friend. We appreciate your input, as always. Let's turn to O'Brien. O'Brien, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. You got about a minute. We got a minute left, and we're going to you, sir.
Okay. The interview with MTG, I think she actually spelled it out correctly and everything else. But in a way, I think she's probably hurt the most, because she was at least America first. And I think she just said, I'm out, because we're not for the country anymore. I mean, Trump's not for the country anymore. And I think that she probably, and then she probably could have tried to, work with him on certain things, but it's her decision.
Yeah. No, you're spot on. It is her decision. And it's heartbreaking to sit back and watch. You know, I love MTG, and we're better as a team than separate on this front. So for me, it's just really, really sad. And, you know, O'Brien, thank you for waiting on hold. I know it was quite the wait time. So we appreciate you and everyone else who's waiting on hold today. Sorry we didn't get to all the calls, but you know, it's always the goal just to go down the list and to get to everyone as we try our very best to do just that. But, unfortunately, we only have 3 hours a day. I got to talk to them. I think I need some more time to chat with you guys, of course. We'll try our very best to take more calls throughout the week on the American Journal. So thank you for staying put. For those of you right now, though, stay where you are. The Alex Jones Show will be going on next. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. The final days of Christmas, 60% off mega sale on some of your favorite items. Oh, and it looks like Nick Fuentes will be up in just a bit as well. So that should be a good one. Definitely stay put for that. Many of you guys know Fuentes has been making a lot of headlines lately, and so I will be watching this. I know the rest of you will be as well. Also, if you haven't done so already, stay in touch with us. Make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com. That's the best way to do so. That's how we stay in touch in case that front door locks. We'll move on to our next operation. So make sure you download it before it's too late, alexjonesapp.com. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
Quick.
quick. I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.